Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like saddling up and chasing down.
Look at that sweet moolah!
That big old cash cow.
Look at all that money!
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Put on my blue suede shoes and boarded the plane.
Well, it's not quite Memphis, but it is indeed Kannapolis, North Carolina, where this week the Green Jackets will begin a six-game series against the Kannapolis Cannonballers, the single-A Carolina League affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Green Jackets arrived in Kannapolis this morning, about half an hour northeast of Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Green Jackets are looking to snap a three-game losing streak that includes their worst day of the season on Sunday. Green Jackets lost 13-4 in Game 1 of a doubleheader, and lost 9-3 in Game 2. They used seven arms. All of them struggled against the bats of the Columbia Fireflies. Green Jackets come into today at 7-13. Kannapolis at 12-7. That means it's time for today's Phoenix Printing Player Feature. I had a chance to sit down with the best bullpen arm of this Green Jackets team so far this season, Landon Harper. We'll take a listen to that interview now and then come back with lineups and first pitch here on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Welcome into the TaxSlayer pregame show here on the Green Jackets Radio Network. Augusta traveling to Kannapolis, North Carolina to take on the Cannonballers this week. And that means it's time for today's Phoenix Printing Player Feature. And we're joined by a man who had a stellar outing last series, Landon Harper. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I guess let's start off with how are the vibes? I mean, this is the second road trip of the season. Yep, I mean, the first month of the year is concluded. How are people doing?
I think the vibes are good. I think, you know, everybody's really, you know, starting to get into it, starting to get their routine, starting to know what they want to do. And I think, you know, we're about to start getting it going pretty soon. I think we're going to get it going for sure.
So you're out of Meridian, Mississippi.
Yep.
Where is that, and what was it like growing up there?
It's probably middle Mississippi, and it's not much to do there. It's just really, you know, a lot of outside play. You know, use your imagination, find something to do, really. It's not a very big town or anything, so.
What teams do people root for, I guess, growing up down there? It seems like it's sort of between like a lot of different teams.
High school or college, you know?
College or professional?
College would be definitely between Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and, you know, where I went, Southern. We kind of picked that up a little bit. Being an HBCU, you know, we kind of picked that up. Last year when I was there, we made a good run and, you know, lost to Ole Miss, but it was still a very great experience, you know, and it brought life to Southern Miss, I feel like. So,
was it always the plan for you to go to a school that was sort of close-ish to home for that connection?
Yeah, it was really more about, you know, where I can pay less school for myself, and that's really where I saw the best fit also. The, you know, pitching coach, the coaches, you know, they're very – very Southern people, and I just got along with them very well, so, you know, that's where I decided to go. So
now you are a former JUCO grinder as well. You spent 2 years at Pearl River Community College. What was that path like for you, and what were the lessons that you took from that?
It was definitely a path that I would never change ever again. You know, I would never go back and change anything I did there. You know, first year was COVID, and that was unfortunate, but I think it actually was a good thing for, you know, a lot of people. Some people it might not have been, but I think it was a great thing for me and for that team. You know, I feel like we had a little chip on our shoulder now, you know, not from another team, but from, you know, something that just happened that we didn't get to do. So I feel like the atmosphere there is definitely, in my opinion, the best JUCO in Mississippi. You know, I don't think anybody can top that place. So
now people think of JUCO as being kind of a grinded out sort of place, and no frills kind of place. Do you think having that experience and then transferring to a D1 and then now being affiliated, well, do you think it gives you sort of an appreciation for the different things that you have at each level?
Yeah, I think Pearl River made me who I am today, honestly. I think the competitiveness that we had to go through up there and just the adversity that JUCO players have to go through, I think that makes them who they are, and I think that's the reason they need to go. I feel like people who go to JUCO need to go there, and if you make it through it, it only makes you better. It cannot make you worse, for sure. So,
then you transferred to Southern Miss. Do you have a personal favorite moment, either on or off the field, from your time there?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed a lot of my time there, even though it was very short. But definitely was hosting a regional, and Super Regional was definitely my favorite moments there, and spending that time with the team and get to see everybody and enjoying that time winning the regional on the field and getting to host the first Super Regional ever at Southern Miss. So I thought that was the best moment, obviously. So.
When did the conversation start with your agent about possibly getting drafted?
So I found him at Pearl River, and my second year, because COVID, nobody really had anything. So he came to me, and we sat down, we ate, we talked a little bit, you know. I mean, I think we had an idea that I could possibly get drafted from Pearl River, but I think the idea that I wanted was to go to a college and get better from there, because I didn't think I was that much ready yet. You know, I would have taken it if it was the good offer and the offer that I wanted, but I was definitely leaning more towards going to college and getting better from there. And then that talk came up, you know, around when the season started. You know, in my head before the season started, you know, I was like, you know, I wanted to get drafted, so I knew I had to play good. So that's where it kind of talked at, and that's why he came to me, and we talked about it a lot. So,
and when it came time, obviously you're selected by the Braves. Are you appreciative of your fit within the organization after they selected you?
Oh, I'm very appreciative. You know, I couldn't ask for a better opportunity. You know, I'm very, you know, Braves, they're probably the closest professional team too where I live, so you know, it's always been that in the back of my head of, you know, like, I would love to play for them, you know. So
now I think a lot of pitchers, as they sort of progress up the ranks, mm-hmm. pitchers who were dominant in high school were oftentimes, you know, Friday night starters, and then you jump up that next level and maybe you're pushed back in the rotation, mm-hmm. or you sort of keep going and going. And where you've sort of landed right now so far this year is as a sort of long inning mm-hmm. middle reliever, and you have I think you've gone now 11 and two-thirds consecutive innings scoreless since that first game of the season. Where do you view, or do you have a particular place in either a rotation or in a bullpen that you enjoy pitching out of the most?
I don't think there's a set position for me. I think, you know, it's being ready when I'm called on. You know, I think, and that's where I got that a lot from being in JUCO, and because in JUCO I wasn't a pitcher at first. I was just a hitter, and I mean I was a pitcher too, but I never pitched because I just wasn't dominant like I am. And then COVID, that's what I meant by COVID. COVID turned me into a pitcher, basically. Couldn't hit field. It's like, turn me into a pitcher, and that's when it started all, was pitching, and I went up from there 1 year, JUCO 1 year, D1, and then I got this wonderful opportunity. And, you know, the spot on the road, you know, it don't really matter to me where they put me, as long as, I mean, you know, when they tell me to go out there, I'm going to go out there and get my outs. So.
Yeah, and one of the nice things about this, the group of pitchers that we have here in Augusta right now, is that mm-hmm. there's like 11 starting pitchers in this group of mm-hmm. 17 or 18 pitchers, and you never know who's going to go where. Do you think, as a pitcher, there's a different approach to a game depending on whether you're starting, whether you're coming in relief? Does it affect your pregame at all, or sort of your mentality going into it?
I think, you know, for some people it might be, but I think the way I look at it, you know, is I take it out by out. I mean, if I'm starting, you know, I still got to get that first out. If I come in late in the game, I still got to get that first out. And then it's on from there, you know. Once you get that first out, you got to get the next out. If you don't hit, you still got to get that next guy out, regardless if you're starting or closing. And I think it's really just about competing. You know, 90% of it's mental. I think you compete if you can keep your head straight and you can compete and tell yourself that you're competing regardless if you give up a hit, a home run, doesn't matter what it is, even if you do good. If you can compete and, you know, let it go at the end of the day, I think you can come back and do well every time.
Well, speaking of keeping your head right sort of off the field, when you're not playing baseball, what are you doing to have fun and sort of keep yourself going during this long season?
I mean, you know, I like taking walks. I like hanging out with just the boys. I like getting the bond going, you know. I like when you come into pro ball, you don't really know a lot of people. So I think the bond and you creating bonds with people is the best thing you can do. Just to bring the team camaraderie and have that energy in the dugout, I feel like that helps. From the dugout, I feel like that helps not just me, but other players that are playing every day and every other day, not just pitchers. You know, I think hitters, that energy, you know, I think it helps them go out there and play the best they can play also. So,
The other good thing, or the other interesting thing about this team and sort of this level of baseball, is that you've got a lot of people at different steps of their career. Yeah. You've got guys who have just come up from Latin America and are mm-hmm. playing their first season of professional ball. And then you have guys who played at played in high school, played in four-year schools, two-year schools. How, I guess, how do you approach your role as someone who's, you know, gone through the path that you have when it comes to sort of bringing the guys together and creating that bond?
I think it's definitely, you know, it's definitely different whenever you first show up because, you know, there's these people, that there's language, different language, you know, people at different places. And I mean, it definitely keeps you on your toes because, like, especially this organization, because everybody's really good. You know, if you're not saying other organizations don't have good players, I'm just saying this one is a good pitching organization. So everybody's good, and if you have good competition around you, it typically makes you a better player regardless if you're doing the bare minimum or not, if that makes sense, you know. So I always go out there. I know everybody here is good, and I know what I have to do to be stay on that level and be on that level, and you know that's what I try to do. Not anything. I'm not trying to be against anybody else. You know, I'm just really just doing my part and doing my job.
I guess the last thing for you is something that I think you've talked about before: your finger, your thumb.
Yeah.
So what's the story there? And I know you said it sort of affects your pitching now. What actually happened?
When I was 5 years old, I was, you know, I had this little four wheeler that got my parents got me a little four wheeler, and we were just riding around, you know, and I went through, we had this swing set. Long story short, it was one was broken, one was wrapped up. So I mean, I was like, you know, I'm tired of driving the same spot, and I went through this side that was wrapped up, so where I wouldn't hit it and wreck or anything. And it got caught, you know, I'm 5 years old, you know. I didn't want to get my butt whooped, so I'm crying, trying to fix it and stuff, and ended up not fixing it, and I pressed the gas, and I fell off, you know, ripped it off, and, you know, it was a big ordeal from there because I wasn't supposed to be able to, you know, do a lot of sports things, you know, and I really just, I'm used to it now because I've had it for so long. It's not like, you know, the whole thing came off, but they, fortunately, they put most of it back on.
Yes, reference your, this is your thumb on your pitching hand, your right hand, and it's about the nail, maybe half, my, you sort of lost it from the nail.
I lost it from all the way here, and they, all probably 75%, 80, close to the 90% range I lost, and they fortunately put it back, the whole thing back on, and the tip just died off because no blood got to it, so, and that's kind of been something I've had since I was six. So that's why I'm so used to it, and it is something that I had to, you know, change and battle at first. I'm sure I don't really remember it that well, but it's definitely something that I think helps me instead of hurts me, even though I've never – I don't remember having a thumb throwing a baseball. So
baseball is all about, you know, especially on the pitching side, looking for, like, the next approach, like different arm slots, spin rates, whatever. Yeah. It's a gift, I suppose.
I suppose so. It hasn't done me wrong yet, so –
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've enjoyed watching you pitch so far this year, and good luck this series.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Back in a few short moments with Green Jackets Baseball as they take on the Cannonballers here on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like discovering a refund tree has grown in your backyard.
I'm the refund tree.
Sawing off its branches.
Hey, hey.
Feeding them through a wood chipper.
My branches! My beautiful branches!
And dancing in its refund rain. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
You've been listening to the TaxSlayer pregame show. Now it's time to go to the field for tonight's broadcast of Augusta Green Jackets baseball here on the Green Jackets Radio Network. This broadcast is brought to you by Augusta Coca-Cola Bottling Company, Augusta University Health, SRP, TaxSlayer, Textron, and WOW. Let's take you out to the field to join the voice of the Green Jackets for the 2023 season, Nathan Strauss.
Well, hello and welcome, folks, to Kannapolis, North Carolina. First of six games between the Green Jackets and Cannonballers, coming live from Atrium Health Ballpark. A ballpark built into the ground. You look out of our view here from the press box up along the third baseline, and you're looking out at a beautiful old-timey medical research facility directly in front of us in center field. A lot of beautiful new architecture built to look old, but it is beautiful indeed here in the Research Triangle of North Carolina. We're about half an hour to the northeast of Charlotte, not quite as far east as we'll get later on this year with trips to Fayetteville and Kinston, North Carolina. But for the first time this season, the Green Jackets will take on a team outside of South Carolina, and they'll be glad to do so because the month of April was one that they want to put in the rear view mirror. 7-13, the record. They have lost three consecutive games and have not won a game in nine innings since a week ago last Friday. The two wins they got last series both came in either seven-inning games or a nine-inning game that became a five-inning game due to rain. And they'll be going up against a Kannapolis team that comes into today at the top of the Carolina League South Division. They come in today at 12-7, six games ahead of the Green Jackets. It'll be Tyler Collins who steps in to lead it off. The lefty is followed by Ambioris Tavares and David McCabe. Going up, as Collins takes a pitch just outside for a ball, going up against Tyler Schweitzer out of Fishers, Indiana, the Ball State product, one of the best pitchers in the MAC the last couple of years. The 1-0 pitch, swing and a miss, gets it right by there, and the count is 1-1. Time of first pitch, exactly 6 o'clock. A little bit chilly in the low 60s, but sunny with a few clouds over center field. The 1-1 pitch, Collins squares to bunt and misses. Might have just foul tipped it there, and it goes to 1-2. 91 miles an hour from Schweitzer, who was going to start on Sunday, had it pushed back. He is a lefty, and the Green Jackets are the best left-hand pitching hitting team in the league as Collins takes a ball there, and the count evens up at 2-2. The Green Jackets hit .262 against lefties, far and away the best number in all of the Carolina League. And it's even more impressive when you consider they're hitting .190 as a team against all pitching. The 2-2 popped up, foul out of play over our head. Collins is the exception to the Green Jackets' excellent approach against southpaws this year. He is just 1-for-11 against lefties. Tavares on deck is 5-for-12. The 2-2 fouled off. Good first at-bat here from Collins, who struggled a little bit last series. Just two hits, eight strikeouts, and 16 at-bats. Making Schweitzer work a little bit here. Schweitzer sitting in the low 90s. The 2-2 pitch, grounded up the middle. The shortstop, Sprinkle, fields it. He throws on to first and narrowly beats him, as that was a little bit closer than we initially might have expected, but it is indeed the first out of the top of the first. And that'll bring up Ambioris Tavares. Green Jackets today trying to break a little bit of a curse here as they come in wearing their green jerseys with the digital camo down the front. They have not won a game in these green jerseys this year. First pitch swinging for Tavares, fouled off. In the green jerseys, they are 0-4. So you take out those games and you're almost a .500 baseball team. Kannapolis in their white home jerseys with blue caps. The 0-1, swing and a miss. Behind the plate is Troy Claunch for the Cannonballers. The infield from left to right, Tapia, Sprinkle, Sanchez, and Tim Elko. Get used to that name for this week's series. 0-2 on Tavares. The pitch is taken off speed, up and away. If you hear a lot of organ noise at the stadium today, Kannapolis has a live organist. The 1-2 pitch, check to swing, but it's in on the outside corner for a called third strike, and there's two down. It is pretty rare to have a live organist in minor league baseball. This is the first time in now, I want to say over 20 minor league stadiums that I've been to that has had a live organist, but I'm all for it. It's great for the vibes. That'll bring up David McCabe, who played his collegiate baseball 25 minutes down the road from here. And he will take the first pitch outside at 85 for a ball. McCabe played at UNC Charlotte for the 49ers. Some of his following are in the house tonight. 1-0 on the Big Maple. The pitch in for a strike at 90 miles an hour. McCabe entered last series hitting almost 350 and dropped that 100 points. He went 3 for 25 last week. The 1-1 outside. He did walk four times, and despite having his 15-game on-base streak broken, ended up reaching in two of the next three games. No one on, two away in the 2-1 pitch. McCabe swing and a miss. Blew it by him at 91, and that's what the off-speed stuff does for Schweitzer on the mound. Cedric DeGrandpre gets the start for the Green Jackets in the bottom of the first. The 2-2 fouled off. McCabe a little bit underneath that one. You can hear some bells ringing in the distance here. Early start today, by the way. Most times these weeknight games are at 7, but 6 o'clock tonight because tomorrow we play daytime baseball, 11 a.m. first pitch. McCabe will foul this one off as well. So the count's still 2-2 with no one on and two away for McCabe. The pitch is swung on and missed. And the Green Jackets go 1-2-3 in the top of inning number one. To the bottom of the first we go. Green Jackets 0. And the Cannonballer is coming up on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
Premier Networks provides cyber technology and IT solutions for your business. Headquartered in the new state-of-the-art Cyber Technology Center in Augusta, Georgia, and celebrating a decade of IT support in our community, Premier Networks is your local, trusted, and official IT provider of the Augusta Green Jackets. Call Premier Networks today for your free cybersecurity assessment or visit us at premworks.com. That's PremWorx.com. Premier Networks, celebrating a decade of support in our community.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Maybe just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. Karen, she's a silver sun, best walker.
Well, it's not just in James Taylor's mind that has gone to Carolina. We have gone to Carolina, North Carolina, that is. As we get set for the bottom of inning number one here from Atrium Health Ballpark. As leading it off is Jordan Sprinkle, the righty hitting 254. And he will take a strike from Cedric DeGrandpre at 91 miles an hour. DeGrandpre has been very, very good as of late. He has struck out six batters in each of his first three outings of the season. The 0-1. Taking a bit high there. Good zip on it, though. 93. For DeGrandpre, his last time out was against Columbia a week ago. He went four innings, gave up two hits, and struck out six. Just three base runners allowed. The 1-1 is up high as well. All fastballs so far from the Quebec native. The 2-1 pitch, grounded up the middle. The shortstop Tavares fields it and throws to first in time for the out. The Green Jackets defensively will have David McCabe at third, Ambioris Tavares at short, EJ Exposito at first, and Justin Janis at first. EJ Exposito at second. Dawson Diamond is behind the plate. Ethan Workinger in left, Tyler Collins in center, and Jeremy Celedonio in right field. And that will bring up Mario Camaletti hitting 188. And that's going to go up here as he breaks his bat and lines the first pitch into center field. And he is aboard with a single. Well, he came in today with just six hits. and he was hitting 188, but with a 500 on-base percentage, courtesy of a Carolina League high, 22 walks. The god of the walk, they call him. And he is aboard for Tim Elko. Well, hopefully he's not here for long, because he has been the best hitter in the Carolina League to date. Leads the league with 6 home runs. He is 4th in average, 4th in slugging, 1st in runs batted in, hitting .351 with 27 hits, 6 home runs. And we have a balk before we can even get started here in this at-bat. So taking second base is Camaletti. Elko, 6'4", 235, a 5-year player at Ole Miss. The pitch fouled off. The only downside to his performance so far, if you can even call it that, is that he is second on the team with 26 strikeouts. But he's also delivered 27 hits and 6 home runs, so you can't really complain much. The 0-1. Lined into center field. Collins sizes it up. Now he's going back to his left. Going to tag as Camaletti, and now he's going to go back to the bag. And wisely so, Collins has already thrown out one person trying to tag from second this season from center field. And there are two away. Hard hit by Elko, but you'll take that one. Green Jackets survive it. And now there's two away for Camaletti on second base. And Brooks Baldwin steps up to the dish. Baldwin batting out of the left-hand side right now. He is a switch hitter. Just two lefties in this lineup. First pitch fouled off. Baldwin out of UNC Wilmington, hitting .286 on the season, but 10 of his 11 hits so far have been singles. But a single would probably get the job done here with a runner in scoring position and two away. No score between the Green Jackets and Cannonballers here on Tuesday night. The 0-1 just misses outside at 93, 1-1. Decent crowd here on this Tuesday evening, an early Tuesday evening at that. The 1-1 pitch just misses. Narrowly missed the bottom of that zone. That breaking ball is very effective to lefties, just frisbees right towards them. But the count's 2-1 now with two away. The pitch outside with a fastball there. There is the base open at first. On deck is Troy Klon. She's hitting just .132. But you always want to avoid those leadoff walks, and you want to avoid those two-out walks as well. And the Grand Prix so far this season has only walked 3 batters total. The 3-1 pitch, lined into right field, a base hit. It's going to get the run home. As hitting first and going for two is Baldwin. He will coast into second with a stand-up double, and the run comes across to score. It's the second extra base hit of the season for Brooks Baldwin, and it puts Kannapolis on top, 1-0 here in the bottom of the first. When the Green Jackets score first, they are 5-6. When they do not, they are 2-7. That is not the most predictive stat on this Green Jackets trends page. We'll get you that one later as Klonch steps in and takes a strike. One home with a runner on second and two away. The 0-1 just inside, 1-1. When the Green Jackets commit an error, they are 2-11. When they don't commit an error, they are 5-2. The 1-1 pitch, taken up high, it drops out of Diamond's glove, and that'll allow the runner to advance on what should be a passed ball. So Baldwin goes from second to third. And still with two away. No possibility of a productive out. The Grand Prix trying to close the door on this first frame. The 2-1 hits him, and it got him on the underside of the left elbow pad, and it will be a third base runner. So Klonch is aboard via the hit by pitch, and there are runners on the corners. for Lion Tapia. Lion Tapia is hitting just 100, 5 for 50 on the season with 19 strikeouts, but a chance to make his sixth hit count extra here with runners on the corners. First pitch right down the middle with a fastball, and it's 0-1. Infield straight away, Janis, the first baseman, holding on Clonch at first. The pitch sliced down the right field line, but foul. The foul territory space here is interesting. There's a lot of space behind home plate to the backstop. There is a lot of space from both foul lines over towards the bullpens. But once you get about 20 feet past the edge of the infield dirt on both lines, you run out of room very quickly. So not a whole lot of space for outfield flyouts. This pitch is taken low and in the dirt. It is 1-2. Straightaway center field is very deep. Going to be hard to push one out there. 400 feet and about 12 feet high is the wall from the alleys in left center and right center. The 1-2, fouled off. Tapia did well to stay with a breaking ball. No sign of action on the base paths, but DeGrom Prix throws over and forces Clonch back. Green Jackets will have 4, 5, and 6 due up next half inning. Celedonio, Werkinger, and Justin Janis. The 1-2 pitch taken up high at 93. That one nearly got to the backstop as well. We are expecting to see Cedric DeGrom Prix start this game, and Adam Shoemaker to follow him. A little Canadian 1-2 punch. The pitch, lined to short. Tavares catches it with his glove on the dirt, and the side is retired. But the Cannonballers get the first run of the game on Brooks Baldwin's RBI double. To the top of the second we go. It is Green Jackets 0 and Cannonballers 1 on the Augusta Green Jackets radio network.
Some things are just made for each other. Chips and dip. Socks and shoes. They complete each other. And with WOW, you get the ultimate pair. Right now, save $30 a month when you bundle extra reliable and WOW TV Plus. And on select packages, get a free modem and up to 2 free WOW TV Plus boxes for a year. Call 833-WOW-SALE today.
WOW.
Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Terms and fees apply.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like discovering a refund tree has grown in your backyard.
I'm the refund tree.
Sawing off its branches.
Hey, hey.
Feeding them through a wood chipper.
My branches! My beautiful branches!
And dancing in its refund rain. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Mala, mala, pour de la moula. Au revoir, merci. Au revoir, merci. Au revoir, merci. Au revoir, merci. Au revoir, merci.
Getting ready for the top of inning number 2 here in Kannapolis, North Carolina. Green Jackets find themselves down a run courtesy of Brooks Baldwin's RBI double in the bottom of the first. And that will bring up the heart of the order here going up against the imposing figure of Tyler Schweitzer, 6 foot even, the fifth rounder in last year's draft out of Ball State. He got the Green Jackets 1-2-3 in the top of the first. And that'll bring up Celedonio, Jeremy Celedonio, the righty who takes strike one. Celedonio hit 200 last series with 10 strikeouts. He did drive in 5. The 0-1 taken way up high with a fastball. Celedonio hit a monster home run on Tuesday of last week and then capped off the series with a bases-clearing three-run double on Sunday. The 1-1 pitch, swing and a miss. 84 miles an hour there from Schweitzer, and the count's 1-2. Schweitzer, the lefty coming into today, 2-0 with a 3.38 ERA. He has been excellent, and he has gone lengthy distances as well as he gets Celedonio with a fastball in the outside corner. Three straight strikeouts here for Schweitzer after a ground out by Collins to start. And that will bring up Ethan Werkinger. Werkinger hitting 254, and he'll sock the first pitch to the alley in right center field. Going back on it is Laureano. He reaches up and makes the catch 2 feet in front of the warning track. It'll break the run of strikeouts, but it will not be a base runner, as there are quickly two away on just five pitches here in the top of the second inning. That'll bring up Justin Janis, the lefty who is hitting .889 against left-handed pitching, and he takes ball one. Janis on the season has absurd reverse splits. He has reached in 9 of 10 plate appearances against lefties, far and away the best left-handed hitter against lefties in the Carolina League. And the 1-0 pitch is taken for a strike. It's 1-1. Janis against lefties, 8 for 9 with 3 runs batted in. And a walk, the 1-1. Line towards second and caught on a line by the second baseman Sanchez, and the 889 will become a measly 800. Through an inning and a half, Green Jackets yet to record a base runner as we head to the bottom of inning number 2. It is Augusta 0, Kannapolis 1, and coming up for more on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
What am I going to watch? What food am I going to order? Who am I going to unfollow? The internet is full of tough choices, but picking an internet provider isn't one of them. You gotta have good internet, like super fast, extra reliable Internet 100 from WOW for just $19.99 a month. Choose your perfect plan today at wowway.com. And for a limited time, sign up for our fastest speed to get $300 on us.
Wow.
Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing, subject to change, terms and fees apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price-lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switchtowowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers. 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Bottom of the second here from Atrium Health Ballpark on a beautiful, if not a little chilly, Tuesday evening here from Central North Carolina. Green Jackets down a run here as we head to the bottom of inning number 2. Green Jackets yet to record a base runner. Kannapolis a run on 2 hits. As the righty Logan Glass hitting over 300 steps in. And he'll take the first pitch for a strike. Glass, hitting out of the 7th spot, is hitting .302. Last year, he was a surprise call-up to AAA. The 0-1 just misses a little bit low with an off-speed pitch, does the Grand Prix, and it's 1-1. He got called up from low A to AAA, and he hit .250 with a homer, and he'll drive this one to left field. Going back is Werkinger. But he settles under it and makes the catch 5 feet in front of the warning track. Pretty rare to get called up from low A to AAA. It would be like jumping from 6th grade to freshman year of high school. But he did it, and did it quite well. He flies out here to begin the frame. That'll bring up Genabio Laureano. Genabio Laureano out of San Pedro de Macorís in the Dominican Republic. The same hometown as the Green Jackets' Ellison Joseph and Francisco Floyd. They played together around the same age group. Swing and a miss, and it is a 1-1 count on Laureano. Hitting .182. One and one the count, no one on. The pitch is in for a strike at the top of the zone at 92. The Grand Prix, when he is feeling it, really zips it up there. Works with good speed. The 1-2 pitch taken low with a breaking ball. DeGrandpre also yet to record a strikeout. He has six in each of the first three outings of the season, does the Canadian. And possibly looking for his first here. 2-2 the count, no one on. The pitch is up and in with a fastball, and the count goes full. On deck, Wilbur Sanchez, who leads this Canapolis team with four stolen bases. This Canapolis team jumped out to a very, very hot start this season, largely courtesy of their bats. The 3-2 pitch is smoked foul and out of play on the right field line. And coming into today, Canapolis was hitting 224, which sank them down a little bit. There was a time before last week that they were hitting in the high twos. 3-2 pitch, fouled off again. So now seven pitches seen this at-bat by Laureano. One nothing cannonballer to the score with one away in the bottom of the second. A 3-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Got him on a high piece of cheese at 94. And there is the first strikeout of the game for Cedric DeGrandpre. That'll bring up Wilbur Sanchez with no one on and two away. Canapolis up 1-0 courtesy of Brooks Baldwin's RBI back in the first inning. The righty steps in and takes a strike. Sanchez, the nine man, made the catch to retire the side in the top of the second. The 0-1. Chopped on the ground towards short. Tavares fields it, throws, and gets him in time by a couple of steps at first. So, a pair of 1-2-3s in the second. We head to the third. The score, Canapolis 1 and Augusta 0 on the Augusta Green Jackets radio network.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HGTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be. Visit us at 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway, right off of I-520 and I-20. Hell yeah!
Sometimes AU Health.
You lose, sometimes you win. Sometimes you try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Top of inning number three here in Canapolis, North Carolina. The score, the Canapolis Cannonballers 1 and the Augusta Green Jackets 0. The Cannonballers, the Carolina League affiliate of the Chicago White Sox, are the lone team over 500 in the White Sox system right now. It has not been easy goings for either the Braves or the White Sox as far as minor league affiliates go. And the White Sox have the 26th ranked farm system in Major League Baseball. The Braves have the dead last 30th ranked system. But stepping in here is Dawson Diamond. He fouls this one off. The Braves obviously won a World Series last year and are far and away in first place right now in the NL East. For the White Sox, it has not exactly been the same story. I would go as far as to say that fan sentiment around Rick Hahn is approaching an all-time low, as well as to Jerry, their owner. But while we're here, a lot of top prospects on display between these two farm systems, ranked whoever they are. 1-2 is the count on Dawson Diamond, who leads off the inning against Schweitzer. He checks his swing at a high fastball, and the count evens up at 2-2. Schweitzer only needed 26 pitches to get through the first two innings without allowing a base runner. He'll have Diamond, Exposito, and Casanova. The 2-2 pitch, breaking ball, lifted into shallow right center field. Coming in on it is Laureano. The center fielder backs him up, but Laureano makes the catch for the first out. Not too far away here in Kannapolis are we from the next step up the ladder for the White Sox prospects who do get promoted. The Winston-Salem Dash, formerly home of my good friend Joe Weil, who was their broadcaster for a number of years, right up the road. And stepping in is EJ Exposito, and he takes ball one. Expo had a tremendous series when it came to hitting in clutch moments. He might have gone just 3-for-18, but he drove home 5 runs, including a game-winning double and a 2-run homer. The 1-0. This one is skied into center field. Moving back towards the warning track is the center fielder Glass. Now he moves back some more and makes the catch. The wind is blowing out to right center field, and that was some hard contact, but again, very hard to push one out here to dead center. 400 feet is the wall right underneath the batter's eye, and it's probably 12 feet high, meaning to get one out off the batter's eye, you need to hit one probably around 420 feet at a minimum to dead center. Stepping in and taking a strike is Jair Casanova, riding a 3-game on-base streak, his longest of the season. Schweitzer is dealing so far. The 0-1, socked into deep right field, going back is Laureano at the track. He looks up. It is gone. The first home run in affiliated baseball for Jair Casanova breaks up what had been 8 consecutive batters sent down by Tyler Schweitzer, and the Green Jackets tie it up at 1. Casanova's solo shot to right field flew off the bat, and we are all even up at 1 apiece. 98 miles an hour off the bat, 375 feet, and that'll get it done here if you hit it to the corners. As Tyler Collins steps in and takes a strike at the bottom of the zone. So the first hit of the day for the Green Jackets is their 9th home run of the season, the first for Casanova. The 0-1 to Collins misses down and in. The Green Jackets might not hit for average terribly well. They're last in the Carolina League coming into today at 190, but their OPS is 7th in the league. The 1-1 pitch lined into center field. It's going to get down for a base hit, and Collins will be aboard with 2 away. Back-to-back hits here following 8 straight retired by Schweitzer to start the game. OPS is what you get when you add your on-base percentage and your slugging percentage. Basically, how often are you getting on base? And when you're getting on base, are you getting on base with singles or are you getting on base with extra base hits? Stepping in is Tavares, who struck out looking in the first. Collins off of first has stolen 8 bags and has yet to be caught as Tavares takes ball 1. For the first time so far in this outing, Schweitzer seems just a little bit out of focus. He had retired 8 straight batters to start this ball game, including 3 strikeouts. 1-1 the score as Collins will get back to the bag. Collins in the top 5 in the Carolina League in stolen bases, stole 2 bases last week. And with the 2-man up and 2 away, not a bad time to try thinking about a bag here. And he's going, and he's picked off. The throw to first is not in time. They throw to first, and Elko fires back to second. And Collins slides in ahead of the tag, and he's called safe. A bang-bang play indeed. Well, what should have been a routine pickoff there, a pickoff caught stealing, will become the 9th stolen base for Collins to... Well, he got a great jump if that pitch was delivered home, but instead it becomes a pickoff. And frankly, for Collins, he made it not even matter. So 1-0, the go-ahead run in scoring position now is caught as Tavares jumps out of the way and takes a ball. And that's going to bring out Klonge to just talk with Schweitzer here a little bit. So Diamond flew out to right to start the inning. Exposito flew out to center. Casanova launched his first home run of the season, his first home run of affiliated baseball. and extended his on-base streak to 4 games. A single and now a stolen base for Collins has put the go-ahead run in scoring position, all tied up at 1 here in the top of inning number 3, and a 2-0 count to the two-man Tavares. The pitch fouled off. Big cut there by Tavares. It bounces off the side of the roof, and a fan in row E will get a souvenir. The fans behind home plate are entirely in shadow, and they've broken out the blankets here in the low 60s, but with some wind, it'll feel a little colder than that. The 2-1 grounded up the middle, and a diving stab made by the second baseman. His throw to first is in time. Excellent play there made by Sanchez to take away a base hit and take away a run. And the Green Jackets will get one, but strand one as well. To the bottom of inning number 3 we go. We are all tied up at one apiece between the Green Jackets and Cannonballers. You're listening to the Augusta Green Jackets Radio Network.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
Premier Networks provides cyber technology and IT solutions for your business. Headquartered in the new state-of-the-art Cyber Technology Center in Augusta, Georgia, and celebrating a decade of IT support in our community. Premier Networks is your local, trusted, and official IT provider of the Augusta Green Jackets. Call Premier Networks today for your free cybersecurity assessment or visit us at premworks.com. That's premworx.com. Premier Networks, celebrating a decade of support in our community.
Bottom of the third here in what has been an eventful first couple of frames in Kannapolis, North Carolina, home of the Cannonballers, formerly home of the Intimidators. The team was at that point in time owned by Dale Earnhardt Sr. Underwent a rebranding and a minor relocation to this beautiful new ballpark. Atrium Health Ballpark is the site for tonight's game. As grounding the first pitch towards the pitcher is the leadoff man, Sprinkle, and he beats out an infield hit. A swinging bunt there to the left-hand side of the mound that DeGrand Prix made the play on, but Sprinkle, the leadoff man for a reason, was able to beat it out fairly comfortably. So about a 15-foot leadoff hit here to get us started in the bottom of inning number 3. And that'll bring up Mario Camaletti, who launched his 7th base hit of the year his first time up. 7 base hits, 22 walks. Far and away the league leader in the Carolina League. And the first pitch to him is taken outside for a ball. To put it into perspective, he started off his career at Oakland in Michigan, transferred to Central Michigan. And in 2 seasons there, he was in the top 5 all time in walks drawn. And I'll take this pitch up and away. He came into today's game hitting 188, but having reached base in 50% of his plate appearances, which is a remarkable line to say the least. And with a 2-0 count, he's got him right where he wants him. And the pitch in for a strike. He doesn't like it, but it was indeed at the upper outside corner of the zone. In this ballpark, we have the benefit of having TrackMan technology here. We have Hawkeye back in Augusta that does show things like exit velo as DeGrom Prix throws over to first, diving back in safely as Sprinkle. Shows us things like exit velocity and spin rate and launch angle and distance for hits. But also, importantly, it shows us the electronic strike zone. Runners going. The pitch is in for, or outside rather, for a ball, and the throw down is not even close. Tavares doesn't even get a tag down. That pitch also got the zone, was called a ball, and that's what Camaletti's eye will do for him. And he is ahead in the count now 3-1 with the leadoff man in scoring position. So So a hitter's count for the two-man Camaletti with the danger man Elko on deck. The pitch is bounced up, and he will work his 23rd walk of the season. He's really worn out that pathway between home plate and first base. And now there's two aboard for the most dangerous man in the Carolina League at the moment, Tim Elko. He flew out to deep center field his first time up, lowering his average to a measly 346. He leads the Carolina League in runs batted in and home runs. And with the two men ahead of him already promoted to high A, staking a claim for the best pure hitter right now in the league. Admittedly, he is much, much older, already past his year 23 season, given that he played 5 years at Ole Miss. But it all counts the same on the stat line as he took a ball from the Grand Prix. The 1-0. Didn't get the zone, and the Grand Prix has now thrown just one strike in his last seven pitches. He will step off the rubber and set himself. Second baseman Exposito holding Sprinkle on at second. The 2-0 pitch. Grounded to short. Could be two. Tavares bobbles. Flips to Expo for one. On to first. Double play. Six. Four. Oh, no. They say Janis went off the bag at the last minute. So it's just going to be one out. Janis can't believe it. That looked like a routine ending to the 6-4-3 double play. And manager Cody Gabella immediately out of the dugout here to ask Michael Corbett, the bases umpire, about that play. Janis cannot believe it. Someone down below us says throw him out, which is a funny thing to say at the very beginning of a series. But let's take a look at the replay here on MILB TV to get us the exact look at whether or not that play was indeed off the base. It looked like a very routine conclusion to a 6-4-3 double play. In fact, good stick intuitiveness by Tavares to complete that play. Let's get a look here. On the replay, Tavares is second for one. On to first. You couldn't tell from that angle. We'll see if they have a replay to show us that. They are conferring here with the umpires, and they stick with the initial call. They'll say he is safe. So after all of that, it becomes runners at the corners. Janis, a pretty defensively sturdy first baseman, playing in his 13th game at first base on the season. So going to third is Sprinkle. Camaletti out at second. And Elko takes over at first on what will go down as a 6-4 force out. And the first pitch here to Baldwin, who drove home the first run of the game, is for a strike from the Grand Prix. Runners on the corners with one away. Double play still gets the Grand Prix out of it. The pitch misses outside 1-1. Well, interestingly enough, though, they don't give an error to Janis on that play because I guess at this level of baseball, you can't assume a double play. Although, realistically, you can. The 1-1, swing and a miss, fooled him badly there on some high cheddar up and away. Baldwin now up to 306 with eight runs batted in following his base hit earlier in this one. And the 1-2, swing and a miss. Back to the high outside rising fastball that runs away from lefties. And Baldwin will be running back to the dugout with two away. Second strikeout of the day for the Grand Prix, as that'll bring up Claunch, who got drilled in the left elbow his last time up. First pitch to Claunch, swung on and missed. And actually fouled off. The umpire puts his hands up here. I'm not sure if he actually made contact or if it actually hit off the umpire following that one, but the count will go to 0-1 regardless. We're all tied up at one here in the bottom of inning number three. Green Jackets and Cannonballers doing battle in the first of six games this week. Green Jackets lead the all-time series against Kannapolis, 8-4, this being the second season that they play each other. The 0-1 pitch just misses inside. Fastball sizzling up there at 93. This season, the Grand Prix has probably been the most consistent pitcher. A 3.14 ERA, yet to get hit hard. The 1-1 taken high. And there was some speculation that he might end up as the first pitcher promoted to join High A Rome. High A Rome, by the way, promoted a top five prospect today, A.J. Smith-Shaver, up to Double A, where he will be one of the youngest arms in the entire league. He was the South Atlanta League's pitcher of the week last week. The count 1-2 now, rather 2-2 on Clonch, who fouls that one off. So Rob Griswold, formerly of Augusta, joins Rome as of Sunday. He's our first promotion of the year, and our congratulations go to Rob Griswold. The 2-2. Swing and a miss on a breaking ball, and Cedric DeGrandpree battles back from a single and a walk and strands a pair on the corners with back-to-back strikeouts. We're all tied up at one. We'll keep it here so you can listen to the sounds of the ballpark in between frames on the Green Jackets Radio Network. Back here in the top of the fourth with David McCabe leading it off. He'll take the first pitch up and away from Schweitzer. We're all tied up at one between the Green Jackets and Cannonballers here on Tuesday evening. The 1-0 misses inside. McCabe 0-for-1 on the day. Struck out to end the first. Green Jackets got their run their last inning courtesy of a solo shot from Casanova. The pitch in for a strike. As McCabe will take ball three, and it goes to 3-1. McCabe trying to work his way aboard. Could not do so on Sunday. The pitch misses inside. That one was close to the zone, but it is a five-pitch walk for David McCabe as the inning gets underway with a base runner. So the leadoff man is aboard for the Green Jackets for the first time today. As that'll bring up Jeremy Celedonio. He struck out looking on four pitches back in the second inning. He has raised his average over the last week and a half. And he'll foul off the first pitch sharply out to the street. Kannapolis, an interesting town because it has almost completely rebuilt itself over the last couple of years. It's one of the most rapidly growing towns that has a minor league baseball team. The 0-1, down and in, 1-1. They build this new ballpark. They build all of these new research buildings, and nearly every public university in the state of North Carolina has some sort of presence here from a research standpoint. The 1-1, swing and a miss at a fastball that was low and inside. Not a strike there That's an area where Celedonio has struggled too, by the way. He has done well at selecting pitches over the plate to hit. He lays off the outside stuff. It's the inside stuff that gets him. 1-2. And he socks this one to center field. Going back is Glass. He looks up, and that ball is way gone. Wow, that must have been 430 feet from Celedonio to dead center field. Absolutely annihilated. His fourth home run of the season, and the Green Jackets are on top. A missile from Celly as he celebrates hard. 104 off the bat, 440 feet from Celedonio. Well, somehow not his longest home run of the year. He hit one 442 feet that left a hole in the batter's eye last week. But for the third Tuesday this year, he has homered. And the Green Jackets take a lead 3-1. As stepping in is Ethan Werkinger. As he takes a couple of strikes here from Schweitzer. Well, Schweitzer's ERA has already jumped up a point and a half to 450. The 0-2, Work checks his swing. They appeal the first. He did not go. The home plate umpire today, by the way, is Chris Jenke. We haven't seen this crew yet this year. Werkinger flew out to right field his last time up. The pitch lined sharply but fouled on the third base line. The pitch taken up and away, 2-2. As the pitch is swung on and missed. So it's a strikeout for Werkinger. Had a look down at the Green Jackets bullpen. It looks like Adam Shoemaker is beginning to throw. Interestingly enough, so the bullpens here are not protected, just like in Augusta. But there isn't traditional bullpen seating. Instead, the bullpen pitchers are in the dugout, as stepping in and taking a ball is Justin Janis. Janis hitting now 800 against lefties. The 1-0 cranked down the line, but foul on the ground. And that's sort of a nice compromise for where the game is at right now. There will come a time fairly soon when bullpens will have to be protected, i.e. behind a fence or behind netting. The 1-1, swing and a miss, tipped into the mitt, and it's 1-2. The 1-2 pitch. Popped into shallow left center field. Going back on it is the shortstop Sprinkle, and he will make the catch, and there's two away. So the numbers for Janis against lefties are coming a little bit back down to earth, now at 709 rather than the 886 that he began the game with. Stepping in is Dawson Diamond. He takes a ball to begin his at-bat, and then a second one. He flew out to begin last inning. Green Jackets now up 3-1 here in the top of the fourth. The pitch taken outside. Three straight balls here with no on and two away. The 3-0. Taken down and in. So a four-pitch walk to Dawson Diamond. Schweitzer started off the game by retiring eight straight batters. And now we're going to have a visit from the pitching coach here. The pitching coach, Blake Hickman, Chicago native. So Schweitzer started off the game, rather, retiring eight straight batters. Then a home run and a single. He was able to escape in the end of the first. End of the third, rather. And then this inning, a walk, a two-run homer, a strikeout, a pop-up, and then another walk. And that's where we are now. 3-1 the score in the top of inning number four. EJ Exposito, who flew out his first time up, is the next at the plate with a runner on first and two away. Expo grounds the first pitch through and to left field for a base hit. Diamond advances to second, won't go further. It's a first pitch swinging for Exposito, who picks up his third hit against lefties on the season. And there are now two aboard for the danger man, Casanova. Casanova launched a 375-foot home run his last time up. As Casanova takes ball one. Casanova now reached in four straight games. His average is up to 139. He started off the year on a 1-for-18, and since then has been taking more walks, seeing more pitches at the bottom of the lineup. It's good to see. The 1-0 fouled off. He wanted another home run with that swing there, but it tied him up in on the hands. Green Jackets, three runs, four hits, no errors. Kannapolis, one run, three hits, no errors. Outfield is back. Infield is back as well. The 1-1 pitch, up and away. That one nearly ran all the way to the backstop. The backstops here, similar to how they are in other newer ballparks like Hartford's Dunkin' Donuts Park, and also similar to what we saw on Myrtle Beach as the catcher takes a mound visit, there is no actual wall. There's no padding. It is just a net that goes straight up, and it makes for a very intimate viewing experience as a fan. It does make it a little bit harder to imagine, and this is every broadcaster's first thought when they walk into a ballpark, which is, how likely is it that a foul ball is going to come into my booth, and how ready should I be at any given time to possibly catch one? It makes it a little bit harder to imagine what kind of foul ball could possibly get up over the netting and then come down into this booth. But as far as fans go, it is a very pleasant viewing experience because you can look right out and you're basically at field level. The count's 2-1 with runners on first and second and two away. Green Jackets up 2-3-1 here in the top of the fourth. The pitch fouled off, and the count goes to 2-2. When I was in Double A New Hampshire 2 years ago, we had a catcher, Chris Beck, who made a play by jumping into the netting and using it almost like a trampoline to push him backwards, and it actually made SportsCenter. It was an awesome play. The 2-2. Grounded up the middle. The shortstop plays it. Sprinkle tosses to second and just gets there in time. And it is a 6-4 force out to retire the side. But the Green Jackets take their first lead of the series, courtesy of Celedonio's fourth dinger of the year. To the bottom of the fourth we go. It is Green Jackets 3 and the Cannonballers 1 here on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
You know, watch. What food am I going to order? Who am I going to unfollow? The internet is full of tough choices, but picking an internet provider isn't one of them. You gotta have good internet, like super fast, extra reliable Internet 100 from WOW for just $19.99 a month. Choose your perfect plan today at wowway.com. And for a limited time, sign up for our fastest speed to get $300 on us.
Wow.
Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing, subject to change, terms and fees apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price-lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switch2wowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers. 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Bottom four here at Atrium Health Ballpark. Green Jackets up by a score of 3-1. Coming into today, the Green Jackets averaging just 2.9 runs per game, bottom of the Carolina League. And even this last weekend, when they did score some runs, the pitching, for the first time this year, let them down. They scored 4 runs and 3 runs on both games Sunday. 6, 7, and 8 due up for Kannapolis is grounding the first pitch. Foul is Lyont Tapia. Tapia 0 for 1 today, hitting now .098. He lined out to end the first. The Cannonballers got their run in the bottom of the first. As this pitch is fouled off, it's 0-2. And since then, they have just one hit. They did get a walk in their last inning. They got a single and a walk. But DeGrand Prix retired the last 3 batters of the frame and stranded runners on the corners. And he's got an 0-2 count here on Tapia. The pitch, swing and a miss. That big frisbee-like slider has worked today, and he is up to 4 strikeouts now, giving him 22 on the season, which is the most of any Green Jackets pitcher. Now through 3 1/3 innings of work. Coming into today, he has gone 4 innings in the last 2 outings and 3 2/3 in the first. So he has been very consistent. He misses here to Logan Glass. But he gave up 5 hits, 4 runs all earned in his first outing of the year, and then was basically perfect his next 2. And this pitch has popped up. Dawson Diamond sheds the mask, and he makes the catch. Well, Star Wars Day here is Thursday, and, you know, Diamond, once he takes off that mask, is no longer Mandalorian, but he makes the play there for out number 2, and it's a quick 2-up, 2-down here in the bottom of the 4th. Green Jackets up 3-1 over the Cannonballers, looking to snap a 3-game losing streak. As walking up to some bad bunny is Janabia Laureano. Diamond makes that catch in fair territory. Laureano takes a beautiful breaking ball for a strike. Laureano, first strikeout victim of the day for DeGrand Prix. The 0-1 misses down and away. Tried that same pitch. The pitch inside. So far for DeGrand Prix, 61 pitches, 35 strikes, but he's settled down as of late. The pitch is just inside 3-1. He has thrown strikes when it's mattered. On deck is Sanchez. 2 away, no one on. Green Jackets up a pair, bottom 4. Here in Kannapolis, 3-1 pitch. Grounded up the middle. Tavares charges. Going to be a tight play. He gathers, throws, and it is in time. And Tavares gets a celebratory fist bump from DeGrand Prix as they head off. Janis shows the ball to the umpire there after getting called for being off the bag earlier. And walking a fine line there is Justin Janis. But we will head to the top of inning number 5 with the score of the Green Jackets 3 and the Cannonballers 1 on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. Greenjacketsbaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit greenjacketsbaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Well, we didn't take Ventura Highway to get here today. We just took a variety of different smaller one-lane state highways and also the occasional interstate. But the Green Jackets arrived this morning in Kannapolis and have liked what they've seen so far. They are up 3-1 through four full innings here, as still engaging in a conversation with the umpires following a play at the end of last inning is manager Patrick Leyland. And if the name Leyland sounds familiar, you're probably thinking of his father, the great Jim Leyland, who was the manager for the Tigers when I was growing up from the early 2000s all the way through the early 2010s, managed the last successful Tigers team. They have not really done great stuff under Al Avila and co. since then, but his son, Jim, was drafted by the Tigers in the 10th round in 2010. Is in his first year as Tyler Collins pushes a bunt down to get us started here in this inning, but a great play made by the pitcher Schweitzer, and he is retired. Just pushed that one too close to the mound to be effective, so there's one away. Leyland and Gabella, the two managers in the series, both in their first year of management in affiliated baseball. Tavares steps in and swings and misses at the first pitch. So far today, Tavares 0-2. As on the mound remains Tyler Schweitzer, up to now 73 pitches. And now 74, Tavares misses a changeup. I want to say that's the first bunt attempt we've seen this year from the Green Jackets where a ball has gone in play. 0-2 the count with one away for Tavares. The pitch is nubbed foul, and it remains 0-2. Tavares hitting 179. Reached base in 40% of his at-bats last week. Took four walks and was hit twice. And he will take a ball here. It goes to 1-2. Now 5-14 against left-handed pitching. The Green Jackets will see a lefty tomorrow as well. The 2-2 swung on and missed. Didn't get a great read on that pitch to Tavares, and he becomes the fifth strikeout victim for Tyler Schweitzer. So Collins tries the bunt and gets thrown out at first. Tavares strikes out swinging, and that'll bring up David McCabe. He scored his last time up after walking. He was driven home by Celedonio's home run, and he's on deck, and McCabe takes ball one here. McCabe down to 222. Was hitting nearly 400 during the Myrtle Beach series 10 days ago. The 1-0. Checked his swing. A pitch gets the bottom of the zone 1-1. No action, by the way, in the bullpen for the Cannonballers, as Schweitzer is up to 78 pitches. The pitch, again, sinks into the bottom of the zone. It is 1-2. Just have to imagine they're going to be content to let Schweitzer get through the inning. We haven't seen a pitcher go over 81 pitches this season for either the Green Jackets or any of their opponents. The 1-2, taken low, and the count evens up 2-2. Three runs, four hits for Augusta. One run, three hits for Kannapolis. Both teams error-free so far in this one. The 2-2 pitch. Popped foul and out of play on the right field line. The moon is up and in the sky over the light stanchion down the right field line. A full-ish moon tonight. But I'm not a meteorologist, so don't quote me on that. The 2-2, way up high. And the count goes full on McCabe. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. is the time. Both teams will likely show and go. Not a whole lot of warm-ups that go on. And that oftentimes means not a whole lot of offense in those day games. The 3-2 to McCabe misses inside. He has drawn his second walk of the game. That was a close pitch to take, but McCabe, a very discerning eye. He reached base at a 53% clip when he was playing down the road from here at the University of Charlotte. It'll be Seth Keller who gets the go tomorrow for the Green Jackets. They will see another left-handed starting pitcher in the form of Shane Murphy. And now we will have some action as it is Fronder Veras getting up and warming in the bullpen. And taking a ball here is Celedonio. Celedonio hitting 167, but a 754 OPS, buoyed by those four home runs now on the year. He leads the Green Jackets and runs batted in with 11. The 1-0. Swing and a miss, 1-1. Green Jackets up 3-1. Celedonio drove home the go-ahead run his last time up with a 440-foot blast to straightaway center field, which is very difficult to do in this ballpark. 1-1 inside, and it's 2-1. Seth Keller goes tomorrow for the Green Jackets. Schwellenbach Thursday, Murphy Friday, Richie Saturday. That's been the rotation so far this year. It's been consistent. The 2-1. Taken low, 3-1. Crowd doesn't like that call, and it did look like that it easily could have been a strike there on the very lower part of the zone. That's the problem with those off-speed pitches. Sometimes they sink so much, it's their final ending point that can fool the men in blue. The 3-1. That's in the zone for a strike, 3-2. Back-to-back full counts here for Schweitzer, who is up to 90 pitches, and that's more or less a pretty sturdy cap for a pitcher, especially in the first month, well, I guess now in the second month of the season. McKee will be going off of first with a full count and two away. Counts full on Celedonia. The pitch launched to center field, but not as deep. Should be playable for the center fielder Glass. He moves in and makes the catch to retire the side. Schweitzer gets through five innings on his 90th pitch of the night. And we head to the bottom of the fifth. Jackets up 3-1 over the Cannonballers. You're listening to the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of Minor League Baseball.
But I will try to drown.
Got a pitching change here for the Green Jackets as Cedric DeGrandpre exits the game, going four innings, giving up three hits, one run. It was indeed an earned run. He walked one and struck out four. And into the game is Adam Shoemaker, the lefty out of Ontario, Canada. So one Canadian is replaced with another Canadian. Not too often that that happens for a team not named the Toronto Blue Jays. But Shoemaker, one of just two lefties on this team, will fire a strike right past Wilbur Sanchez, who tried to drag bunt and missed by half a foot. Green Jackets up 3-1. The pitch fouled off. Bottom of inning number five, just before quarter past seven here in Kannapolis. It does feel like kind of a timeless town. And if you didn't see the construction going on over right center field, the 0-2 is fouled off. If you didn't see the construction going on for the apartment complex in right center field, this could be, you know, technology aside, a very old-timey baseball scene. The 0-2 taken up high. I mean, obviously, if you were sort of turned a blind eye to the technology and the advertisements, the buildings, the sort of classic architecture around here, you're half expecting Abner Doubleday to pop out. The 1-2 is up and away, 2-2. This is the Green Jackets' first game this season outside of South Carolina. The 2-2 pitch misses low, 3-2. So Adam Shoemaker on the mound. He has been very solid so far this year. He has split time between starting and entering in relief. The payoff pitch lined into left field. Going back is Werkinger to the track. He will reach up and make the catch on what looked like a lazy fly ball and then got pushed out and out for the first out. The Grand Prix, by the way, lowers his ERA to the high twos, 2.89, following that first four innings of work today. The top of the lineup is up now. Jordan Sprinkle, who sprinkled in a bunt base hit his first time up. He lines the first pitch off of the Atrium Health ballpark sign, and the ball stays balancing precariously on the edge of the roof. The 0-1 just misses up and away, 1-1. Green Jackets looking to snap a three-game losing streak. The pitch is down in the dirt, and it goes to 2-1 on Sprinkle. 2.62, the average for Sprinkle with three stolen bases. The former University of California Santa Barbara Gaucho. 2-1, swung and a miss. Well, there's some confusion there. It looked like he might have actually hit that ball. Couldn't tell if it was foul tipped or if it just came out of Dawson Diamond's glove. Diamond, also a California product. Two and two. The pitch is lined in the left field, dropping fast. It's going to get down for a base hit. Werkinger comes over to cut it off. Sprinkle takes a big turn at first and will come back to the back. He might have been able to snag second base there. But instead, he records the first hit of the game since his last at bat back in the third inning. And the Cannonballers have a base runner here in the bottom of inning number five. So Mario Camiletti, who predictably walked his last time up, the league leader in walks, steps in and takes ball one. He has reached twice today, an on-base machine. Hitting now .212. The 1-0 in for a strike. Leading off of first is Sprinkle, who stole a base his last time on board. This one misses up high. Dawson Diamond has thrown out only 25% of would-be base stealers this year, just 4 for 16. Nick Clarno, who will go tomorrow, has thrown out the second most would-be base stealers in the Carolina League and the third most in all of single A. Shoemaker will throw over to first. Getting back in time is Sprinkle. Kannapolis came into today leading the league at 12-7, actually tied with Columbia at 13-8, but technically by win percentage they're on top. The pitch is popped up foul and out of play by Camiletti, and the count's 2-2. Augusta came into today 5.5 games out of first place at 7-13, 2 games behind Fayetteville in fourth. They're just eyeing that 500 number. You'd like to get there by the end of May. This pitch gets him right in the back. Well, there's taking walks and there's wearing a 89-mile-an-hour pitch in the numbers, but he will get on base the hard way, and there are two aboard. He's now reached base in all three plate appearances. And that'll bring up Jordan Sprinkle moves to second, Camiletti on first for Tim Elko. Elko, once again, the hottest hitter in the league, is 0 for 2 today, surprisingly. It's dropped his average back below .350. But the league leader in runs batted in has a chance for more here with one away in the bottom of the fifth. The pitch is fouled off, 0-1, rather. Elko, out of Wichita, Kansas, played for 5 years at Ole Miss, part of a tremendous Ole Miss program. In a very difficult baseball conference, the SEC. The 0-1 pitch crushed to left field. Werkinger going over to the wall. It is off the base of the wall. One run will come in to score. Werkinger's throw is to third. It's dropped by Tavares, and there'll be an RBI double for Elko. Well, once they got him out the first two times, he was due statistically for a base hit, and that it was, off the left field wall. And he drives in run number... Well, rather, he leads the league in RBIs. He drives in his 23rd run of the season, I believe, and there are now two runners in scoring position with still just one away. Sprinkle comes in to score. Camiletti to third, and Elko off second now. Baldwin fouls off the first pitch. And it is a 3-2 ball game. Runs batted in now for Elko. The 0-1, taken just up high one-on-one. Far greater than one RBI a game. We're here in game number 20 of the season for Kannapolis. The 1-1. Swing and a miss. It goes to 1-2. Infield is in with a runner on third and one away. Runners on first and second. The pitch, lined into center field, it's going to get down for a base hit. Elko being waved around third. The tying run scores, the go-ahead run will score as the throw is cut by the first baseman, Janis. It's a two RBI single for Brooks Baldwin. Give him three ribbies on the day. And Kannapolis retakes the lead. And that's going to get some arms going here in the Green Jackets bullpen as... Shoemaker has given up three base hits this inning along with a hit by pitch. So a runner on first with just one away. Shoemaker into the game. His ERA now at 3.48. Ellison Joseph is the man up and throwing for the Green Jackets down the left field line. Troy Klontz at the dish. Runners going. First pitch is taken high for a ball. The third to second, not in time. It was headed for the outfield and... Good work by the second baseman, Exposito, to cut it off. So Baldwin so far has been excellent today. Baldwin up to 10 runs batted in the year now, and he's on second base. The 1-0 way up high, 2-0. Pitch, swing, and a miss, and it is 2-1. The first strike of the at-bat to Klontz. 0-for-1 today. He got hit by a pitch in the first inning. And we've got a balk on Shoemaker, who looked back while in his motion, and you can't do that. So taking third on the second balk of the day is Baldwin. And now an insurance run is just 90 feet away. The 2-1 is outside 3-1. And this might end up being Shoemaker's last batter. The 3-1. Popped up down the right field line, dropping fast, might be playable for Janis, and it will fall untouched with the three players on the right side of the infield and outfield converging on it. So two balls, two strikes, runner on third. Green Jackets down now 4-3. The pitch is taken for a ball. And that will put Claunch aboard as Dawson Diamond gives out some signs here. So runners on first and third with one away. For Tapia, the pitch, foul tipped through the legs of Diamond. Tapia 0 for 2. This has been a three-hit inning so far for the Cannonballers, who had just three hits in the first four frames. The 0-1, grounded foul down the third baseline, 0-2. Claunch off of first, and Shoemaker will throw over softly just to keep him honest with a runner on third as well. The Green Jackets did give up a run on a delayed steal. The pitch, grounded up the middle, could be two. Tavares to second for one, on to first, double play. And that will end the inning with just the three runs coming home. So a 6-4-3 double play turned by the Green Jackets, and we head to the sixth inning. Green Jackets down one now, 4-3 Cannonballers.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. greenjacketsbaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit greenjacketsbaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner. AU Health offers the most advanced medical care in the region. That claim is backed up every day through our commitment as an academic medical center, through our dedication at the Children's Hospital of Georgia, and our determination at the Georgia Cancer Center. No other health system offers the depth of services that AU Health has. We're caregivers, teachers, and game changers dedicated to making the world a healthier place. Starting with you, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Upon a fallen tree, just two kids with nowhere better to be.
We've got a pitching change here in Kannapolis, North Carolina, for the top of the sixth inning, where all of a sudden it is a 4-3 ball game. Kannapolis on top as Ethan Werkinger steps in and fouls off the first pitch. It is Manuel Veloz, the Venezuelan, who comes in. 6-2, the righty, the first time the Green Jackets have seen a right-handed pitcher today. The 0-1 inside, it's 1-1. Werkinger, so far today, is 0-2. A flyout and a strikeout. And the 1-1 pitch, grounded softly foul. He was out in front of a breaking ball at 79. The 1-2 pitch. Lined sharply towards the alley in right center field. It's going to get down for a base hit. The center fielder does well to get over and cut it off, but it is a leadoff knock for Werkinger, extending his hit streak now to a season-high 5 games. And the Green Jackets have the leadoff man aboard for Justin Janis.
Yeah.
Janis, the lefty so far for today, 0-2. The leader of this team in batting average, working her a big lead off of first. The pitch grounded to the right side, and it's going to get through to the outfield for a base hit. Workinger will head first to third. The throw will come into second base. And again, a great piece of slap hitting for Justin Janis as he is aboard with his first hit of the game. And there are two aboard with no one out for Dawson Diamond. Sanchez already took away a base hit and a run earlier today, the second baseman for Kannapolis. He just could not quite get to that ball. Justin Janis is now 9 for his last 21. Over 400. Diamond takes the first pitch up and away for a ball. The lows on the season as he comes into the game. 1-0 with a 6.10 ERA in 10 and a third innings of work. The pitch is chopped foul by Diamond, nearly got him on the hand. This is his fourth game of the season. He has gone 3 innings, 3 1/3 innings, and 4 innings of work, so he is capable of being stretched out over quite some time here. And he's got a 1-1 count with runners on the corners. The pitch taken outside, 2-1. Green Jackets down by a run, 4-3 in the top of the sixth, but the tying run is off of third, and the go-ahead run is on first with no one away. Even a double play here ties the game. The 2-1, socked into right center field, a base hit, or rather caught on a line by the center fielder Glass. Tagging and scoring is Workinger from third. Well, I thought that one got down, but it just stayed up, and my mouth got ahead of me, but for Diamond, it becomes a run batted in. And we're all tied up at 4. Janis stays at first on the sacrifice fly from Diamond. If that had gotten down, probably extra bases. As Exposito steps in and takes ball 1. So now there's a runner on first and 1 away. We're all tied up at 4. The 1-0. Swing and a miss. Got Exposito on a fastball down and in. One for two today is Exposito. The 1-1. Breaking ball. He stayed with it to foul it off. The Green Jackets bats continue to wake up here. They were hitting 171 on Wednesday of last week, and that's already gone up 20 points. The 1-2 pitch nearly gets him on the inside corner. Instead, it's taken for a ball. Two and two on Exposito. The pickoff throw comes over to first. Janis slides back in safely. 4 runs on 6 hits for each team so far. Both teams with 0 errors. On what is becoming a chilly Tuesday evening here in central North Carolina. The 2-2 pitch. Lined into right center field. Going over is the center fielder Glass. He calls for it and makes the catch. Second fly out to center for Exposito today, and then I'll bring up Casanova. So Janis is on first. The shift is on here for Casanova with the second baseman guarding the bag at second. First pitch breaking ball in for a strike. He's there. Presumably to allow the third baseman and shortstop to play further over in the event of a steal by Janis with two away. Janis is going, got a great jump. The pitch is swung on and missed, and there won't even be a throw because that one was excellently timed by Janis as he will get himself a bag. The pitch was swung on and missed, so it is an 0-2 count. Janis took that jump the second that Velo's on the mound started to step forward. You could not have timed it any better if he tried. And Janis now takes a big lead off of second. He's the go-ahead run with an 0-2 count and two away here in the top of the sixth. The pitch taken up and away for a ball. Elsewhere around the Carolina League, Columbia is up 3-0 on Myrtle Beach. Salem is up 3-2 on Fayetteville. That game's in the second inning. Carolina beat Delmarva earlier today. The 1-2 pitch. Taken for a ball. Might have nabbed the corner there. Something about that movement, I don't know if it was a two-seam fastball or what, but it had a lot of cut. I get the nod there from the person who actually knows how to read those spin rates. The 2-2. Lined into left field, a base hit. Janis is waved home. He will score easily. It is another RBI, the second of the day for Casanova. His first multi-hit game of the year, his first multi-RBI game of the year. And the seesaw battle continues in Kannapolis as it's the Green Jackets who have cannonballed back on top 5-4. Have a day, Jair Casanova. A homer and an RBI single. As the Green Jackets gave away three in the bottom of the fifth, they get two back in the top of the sixth. And Casanova is taking off on the first pitch. The throwdown is not in time. We haven't actually gotten a signal so far from the umpire. I'm assuming they're just saying that he didn't get the tag down at all, but it'll become a stolen base for Casanova. What a weird inning this has been so far. We had a single for Ethan Werkinger, a single for Janis, a sack fly for Diamond, a flyout, and then an RBI single with a couple of stolen bases interspersed there as well. Collins swings and misses. He's down to the count 0-2. And for the first time this season, it really seems like the bats have started to fire a little bit for the Green Jackets. The 0-2 pitch is inside, brushes Collins back. Collins so far today is 1-for-3. I mean, the Green Jackets are batting for the fourth time through the order here in the third inning, rather in the sixth inning, excuse me. The 1-2. Nubbed. It's a fair ball. And everyone got confused there. The catcher didn't throw down to first. That ball was spinning in the dirt in front of the plate. That'll be like a six inch ground out. But we'll head to the bottom of the sixth. The Green Jackets have retaken the lead, 5-4.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HGTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be. Visit us at 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway, right off of I-520 and I-20. Ale, yeah!
At Augusta University Health's Georgia Cancer Center, we understand that getting through a cancer diagnosis and treatment affects every aspect of your life, which is why we treat the whole patient, body, mind, and spirit. No two cancers are the same, which is why we have a dedicated multidisciplinary team of experts who personalize treatment options. The most advanced cancer care is right in our backyard at AU Health's Georgia Cancer Center. AU Health and the Georgia Cancer Center are your trusted healthcare partners.
Trains may come rolling, take me where they may. But if it's your hand I'm holding, I'll make it through the day. Oh, won't you say the same to me, or worry not, my dear. Horses are faster.
We've got a pitching change for the Green Jackets. Adam Shoemaker's night is done after one real tough inning. And into the game comes number 11, Ellison Joseph. Joseph pitched on Sunday, and he will give up a first pitch fly ball here to left field. As going over is Werkinger, and he will make the catch in front of Tyler Collins. So Shoemaker's night is done. Logan Glass, the seven man, flies out on the first pitch to the left fielder. That'll bring up Zanabiel Lozano, excuse me, Laureano. I can't even read my own handwriting here. Zanabiel Laureano is 0-for-2. A strikeout and a groundout. Wilbur Sanchez on deck, also 0-for-2. The first pitch from Joseph is in for a strike. Ellison Joseph, A 3.38 ERA. He has been involved in a lot of games. I believe this makes him the Green Jackets' leader in appearances from a pitching perspective. The 0-1 pitch right down the middle for a strike. This is his seventh appearance now on the season. 7 2/3 innings of work, a 2-1 record, a 1.57 whip. The 0-2. Sock to left field and deep. Workinger going back on it. He looks up to the wall. It is off the wall. Runner's going for second. The throw here comes into Tavares, and it is a double for Laureano. If he pulls that ball about 5 more feet to the left, it's a home run and we're tied up. Instead, it is an extra base hit. The book on Ellison Joseph is when he is effective, he is really effective and he shuts people down. When he is not effective and when he is missing, he gets blown up. And it's too early in this outing to figure out which one it's going to be, as Laureano gets to second base. And that'll bring up Sanchez, the first double of the season for Laureano. Sanchez, 0-2. The tying run on second. The pitch is outside. Sanchez hitting 191. 3-for-9 with runners in scoring position are the Cannonballers today. The 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss at a high fastball there at 95. Joseph can run it up there. He's hit 96 this season. The 1-1. Swing and a miss. Got him on an off-speed pitch that time at 89. So the count is 1-2. Tying run on second base with one away here in the bottom of the sixth. Joseph looks back at second. The 1-2. Fouled off down the first base line towards the Kannapolis dugout. Kannapolis, like most teams, uses the first base dugout as their home side. Unlike the Green Jackets, who use the third base dugout as their home dugout, it's a little bit closer to the clubhouse, and it we'll get you that story in a second here. The 1-2 backs him off. And as we said before, the Green Jackets used that third base dugout at home because they were, when the ballpark was constructed, the Giants affiliate. And out in San Francisco, the third base dugout is the home dugout there as well. 2-2 now. The pitch. Called. Strike 3 on the outside corner, and he knew it. No complaints, just a look as he goes back to the dugout, and there are two away. So the top four batters, really the top five batters in the lineup today, have reached in 10 of their 15 plate appearances. The bottom four have reached just once. As up to the plate is Sprinkle, and he will take a curveball, rather a slider, for a strike. The entire field is now in shadow, except for just a little tiny bit of the right center field power alley. Sprinkle deep down in his stance. The 0-1. Thought about it and laid off it. A pitch that was maybe on the edge, the upper edge of the zone. And the count evens up at 1. The Green Jackets will have 2, 3, and 4 due up next half inning. With a 5-4 lead. The 1-1. Fouled, or rather grounded fair. It spins fair to Janis, the first baseman. He throws on to Joseph and gets him by half a step. That was a weird nubber off the end of the bat that started off looking like it was going to go way foul down the first baseline, spun all the way back to the first baseman, and a 1-3, make that a 3-1 rather, ground out, ends the inning and retires the side. To the top of the seventh we go. Green Jackets up by 1. You're listening to the Green Jackets Radio Network.
What am I going to watch? What food am I going to order? Who am I going to unfollow? The internet is full of tough choices, but picking an internet provider isn't one of them. You gotta have good internet, like super fast, extra reliable Internet 100 from WOW for just $19.99 a month. Choose your perfect plan today at WOWWay.com. And for a limited time, sign up for our fastest speed to get $300 on us. Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Terms and fees apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switch2wowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers. 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Well, we are two-thirds of the way through this one in theory. Top of the seventh inning. Green Jackets up 5-4 over the Kannapolis Cannonballers. That means it's time for us to take a look around the system as Tavares steps in here to lead it off. The first pitch is swung on and missed. Well, I think he had no intention of taking that pitch whatsoever because not particularly close to being a strike. The Braves taking on the Marlins tonight, the 0-1, grounded foul down the third baseline. They split a doubleheader yesterday in New York against the Mets following a couple of games that have gotten rained out over the weekend. The 0-2, taken low and away. Rome is up 3-0 at home on Bowling Green. Gwinnett up 3-0 on fellow White Sox affiliate Charlotte. That came in the second inning. In Gwinnett, the 1-2 way outside, 2-2, and Pensacola and Mississippi are locked in a pitcher's duel. Just two hits for the two teams through four innings down in Pensacola. Tavares fouls this one off. Fans, by the way, can tune into the voice of the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, Eric Bremer, someone who will be in Major League Baseball soon rather than later. It is MILB TV's free game of the day if you want to switch over there after this one is done. We've got a visit now from the manager and the training staff checking on the catcher, Troy Klontsch. Signed as a free agent, as it looks like he'll be okay to continue. Tomorrow, both Augusta and Mississippi will play in the early parts of the morning. Still 2-2. The pitch is taken down low. Good eye by Tavares. That's a pitch that he was swinging at earlier today. And earlier this season as well. A full count on the leadoff man as Tavi waits for the pitch. The payoff pitch is fouled off sharply down the right field line towards a fan who will... Oh, it just goes over his head on one hop. He nearly made a great grab. And he'll be rewarded as it rebounds off a fence. Three-two, fouled off again. The same fan is trying to make a play on it, and this time it'll land safely on the grass, but he gets the second straight foul ball here. You gotta find the kid to give one of those to. Let's see if he does it. Nope. Well, oh, there he goes. He did find a kid to hit it, and Tavares strikes out on the next pitch. Sorry, I was more focused on the ethical nature of that fan catching two straight foul balls. He did find a kid, and Tavares finds the bench, his third strikeout of the day. There is now one away here in the top of the seventh for David McCabe. McCabe, two straight walks. 0-for-1 with a strikeout. As he will take a strike. McCabe finally gets the bat out of his preferred left-hand side. The switch hitter hitting about 80 points better as a lefty, and he will take a ball here. McCabe has batted third in every game he has played in this season. Hitting 234 as a lefty, hitting 200 as a righty. The 1-1, taken low, 2-1. The 2-1 pitch gets the outside of the zone. It is 2-2. The Braves are up 2-0 on the Marlins right now down in Miami, holding the Marlins to just one hit so far. The 2-2 swung on and missed. So two strikeouts, two walks for McCabe. And that'll bring up Celedonio. We know Celedonio is being a three true outcomes kind of player, and he's got two of those three true outcomes so far tonight. He's got a homer, a strikeout, and a flyout. He drove home two. He leads this team now with 11 runs batted in. And he will take the first pitch for a strike. All but three of those runs batted in, by the way, have come on his four home runs this season, which also leads the team and is just two behind Tim Elko for the league lead. The pitch misses just barely up high, and it's 1-1. Velaz now through 1 2/3 innings of work. Two strikeouts, up to 39 pitches. And a 1-1 count to the cleanup hitter, Celedonio. The pitch is check-swinged. They do not appeal to first. I guess they'll say he held up. And it's 2-1. The pitch misses inside, 3-1. Celedonio took three walks a couple weeks ago in a game, which is the high watermark for bases on balls taken by a Green Jackets player this season. The 3-1 is up high for a ball. So Velaz getting squeezed a little bit on some of these pitches. He's got a lot of cut and sink to his repertoire. And Celedonio is aboard now with two away for Ethan Werkinger. He singled and scored his last time up. Very spacious dugouts here, by the way. They are massive. Celedonio's off and running on the first pitch, and he is out by a mile. Not even close. I mean, he was probably out by 10 to 15 feet. That was not the smoothest of steal attempts that we have seen. But in theory, it'll get Werkinger, Janis, and Diamond to bat back-to-back-to-back in the bottom of the seventh. We'll keep it here for the seventh inning stretch because they get someone to sing every time. Back here in the bottom of the seventh, first pitch swinging for Camaletti. He pops this one foul in the third baseline. McCabe fights for it, and it twists back in and drops safely. So it just goes down as a foul ball. As we are here, the Green Jackets are on top by a score of 5-4. Ellison Joseph remains on the mound. He needed his 13 pitches to get out of that first inning of work. The pitch misses inside for a ball. Camaletti hitting .212, has reached in all three plate appearances tonight. His on-base percentage is over .500. The 1-1 goes around there. You don't see that swing too often from him, and it's 1-2. That on-base percentage over .500, so he is getting on base more than 50% of his at-bats. And that is just so valuable, even if the average is low. Stick him at the top of the lineup. Get him on base for the power men to hit. The 1-2 pitch just misses outside with a slider. And Elko, certainly a power hitter, drove home a run this last time up with a long double. He is playing like someone who wants to be in Winston-Salem by the end of the week. This pitch is taken low for a ball, and the count goes full. Timeout here called by the batter. We have not seen a pitch clock violation so far today. Well done on everyone involved. The payoff pitch, grounded to first. Janis fields it on three hops, and he will take it to the bag himself. Like that good hard 90 there from Camaletti. Knowing he was going to be out, he still ran it out. Not everyone does that, especially at this level, but it becomes a ground out to begin the frame. That'll bring up Elko, 1-for-3, a double and an RBI. The first pitch is grounded to the pitcher. Joseph fields it, underhands it to Janis, and there are two away. Well, that's one way to get around the two and three hitters in the lineup. And that'll bring up Brooks Baldwin. He has been actually the most productive man at the plate so far tonight for Kannapolis. He has two doubles and three runs batted in. He came into today with seven ribbies, and he's made that an even 10. The first pitch to him is swung on and missed. The last three at-bats have been a 3-1 groundout, a 3-unassisted groundout, and then a 1-3 groundout. So a lot of soft contact to the right-hand side on the ground as Joseph misses outside with a breaking ball. It's 1-1. The 1-1. Foul tipped off the inside of Diamond's shin protector. Was talking with him before the game about what the most painful spot to get hit with a baseball was, and he was saying it's probably, you know, barring the obvious super sensitive locations, it's probably either underneath the neck protector as a catcher or anywhere on the elbow or tricep. You've just got a lot of ligaments there that you're not super cognizant of until you either get hit there or do tricep skull crushers. The 1-2 pitch is fouled off, and for someone who's been catching since he was 4 years old, I will take his word for it. 1-2 the count. Green Jackets up 5-4 in the bottom of the seventh. Each team with seven hits. The 1-2 pitch bounced up there. Good block by Diamond. Tim Elko, by the way, is the leader in all of Chicago, all of the White Sox's affiliates in batting average. And with Alexander Womack already promoted to AA, he could go up soon. And this is swung on and missed as Diamond makes the snag behind the plate. And it is a 1-2-3 inning here in the seventh. To the top of the eighth we go. Green Jackets up 5-4 on the Augusta Green Jackets radio network.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance,
And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of Minor League Baseball.
Top of inning number 8 now with Velez still on the mound. Green Jackets will have 5, 6, and 7. Werkinger and Janis and Diamond. The three do up. Celedonio caught stealing to end the frame. The Green Jackets don't run a whole lot. They're in the bottom third of the league in stolen base attempts. They're also towards the bottom in terms of success rate as Werkinger will take a ball. No action in the bullpen for the home side as Werkinger will pop this one up into shallow center field. Second baseman going back on it, and Sanchez, the second baseman, makes the catch. There is a dog in the press box, which is the greatest thing that we have seen in a press box this year. I want to say it's maybe sort of golden doodle adjacent. It's a very cute dog, very sociable. Very hyper as well, which I appreciate as Justin Janis steps in. And he'll line the first pitch down the right field line, dropping fast. Laureano will come in and make the catch. Nearly extra bases for Janis, but it just hung up long enough, and quickly there are two away. And that'll bring up Dawson Diamond with no one on and two away. I mean, the Green Jackets are just getting retired too fast for me to really delve into any of these stories right now, but it is a 5-4 Augusta lead. Seven hits for the Green Jackets as Diamond will take ball one. Dawson Diamond so far today, a sack fly, a walk, and a flyout. So he is just 0-for-1 with an RBI. And the 1-0 misses high 2-0. It looks like Lynn Harper is warming up in the bullpen for Augusta. The 2-0 pitch to Diamond nearly gets him. He scoots out of the way. He didn't want to wear that one. And it's 3-0. The pitch is in for a strike. Auto take there on a 3-0 count with no one on. And it is 3-1 on Diamond. Third baseman guarding the line. The 3-1 pitch. Grounded to the shortstop. He makes the play. He throws on to first in time as Sprinkle made that look very, very easy. So to the bottom of the eighth we go. Green Jackets will only send up three to the plate for the second straight inning. But they are up 5-4 with potentially a new pitcher coming in. Back in a flash on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Looking for a great rate on an auto loan? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has that covered. Great rate on an RV, boat, motorcycle, or a mortgage? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has great rates on those too. But did you know SRP also has great rates on credit cards? And not just great rates, but perks, too. Whether you're wanting a traditional credit card with the lowest rates or a rewards or signature credit card that will earn you points, SRP Federal Credit Union has what you are looking for. Visit a branch or apply online today at srpfcu.org. Good things are happening at SRP. All loans subject to approval and rate may vary depending on individual's credit history and other factors. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions subject to change without notice. Membership required. For information on our credit card points and rewards program, visit srpfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 612441.
Good things are happening at SRP.
There ain't nobody that can sing like me.
Ain't nobody that can sing like me.
Oh, my
my little girlie, will you let me see? Way over yonder where the wind blows free. Nobody can see in our hollow tree. And there ain't nobody.
We've got a pitching change here in the bottom of inning number 8. Green Jackets up 5-4, and they are bringing in the pitcher who has been their best arm so far this season. And that would be number 8, Landon Harper. We talked to him. He was our Phoenix Printing pregame player feature as he is currently riding a pretty impressive scoreless streak. 11 2/3 innings of consecutive scoreless baseball for Harper. He gave up some very solid contact in his first game as he delivers his first pitch here, and it's lined into left field for a base hit. A looping single for Clonch. His first inning of, or rather his first game of work was 3 innings against Columbia. He got a blown save and struck out 2. But since then, he has just been immaculate. His last outing, he went 4 1/3 innings of work, struck out 6, gave up just 1 hit, although he gives up a hit on the first pitch he throws here. And Tapia, who grounded into a double play, is next at the plate. Pitch is taken low for a ball at 90 miles an hour. A native of Meridian, Mississippi. The 1-0. Tipped into the mitt. At 90, it's 1-1. Out of Southern Missouri, 14th rounder in last year's draft. The 1-1 tipped into the mitt again at 87 that time. Runner on first. An arm is warming in the bullpen now for the home side. The pitch is laid off at the bottom of the zone. The count evens up at 2-2. Green Jackets up in this one 5-4 in the bottom of the 8th. The tying run on first with no one out and a 2-2 count. The pitch is check swing at a pitch that just did not get the zone. Good eye there from Tapia, and the count goes full. And they will appeal up the middle, and he went around. A very late appeal and a very late call, and he doesn't like it. But the umpire has the final say, and he becomes the first out. That was just a very belated appeal, and that probably contributed more to the frustration there of Tapia. So one away now for Logan Glass with a runner on first. He's 0-3, 2 flyouts to left and a pop-out. Came into today hitting over 300. The first pitch to him is in the zone for a strike. As you might have heard on that pregame show, Harper on the mound lost half of his thumb in an accident when he was 5. He lost his whole thumb. It completely detached from his body. They were able to save half of it. The 0-1 is popped foul and out of play. As he now pitches with half a thumb. He said he's never thrown a baseball having his full thumb, and it gives him the ability to do weird things, particularly with his changeup, he says, for his changeup grip. You think about if you're making a circle to throw a changeup, and you only have half that thumb on the bottom, it enables him to maneuver it in weird ways. The 0-2 pitch misses outside 1-2. We were joking, you know, in an era of baseball where front offices and analytics departments are trying so hard to find new funky things with spin rates and arm slots and deliveries. The 1-2 pitch is taken up high. Maybe the next new rage will be finding folks who have lost parts of their digits, but he has certainly not let that hamper him so far. He views it as a strength rather than a weakness, and the count evens up here at 2-2. He's been a good strikeout pitcher this year in the low teens per 9. The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Back-to-back Ks here. And there are two away. And that'll bring up Laureano. Laureano doubled his last time up, was stranded at second. His first double of the season. Just below the Mendoza line, 194. And he will take the first pitch low for a ball. Good job by the umpire there, giving that as a ball, because Diamond did a nice job of raising his glove there, trying to frame that one. Runner on first. Green Jackets up 1-5-4 in the bottom of the eighth. The pitch is fouled off the glove of Diamond and back to the backstop. There is now a dog waiting at the entrance gate to the back of the Diamond as well, which makes me think you might have some canine-themed entertainment after this half inning. 1-1 the count with two away. Still light now, but barely here in Kannapolis. The pitch is low and away, ball two. Now there is not a cloud in the sky, a sort of purple lavender haze in the distance in this brick-and-mortar town. Game one of six between these two teams here today. Kannapolis will come to Augusta in the end of May. The 2-1, driven on a line to right center field. Going over is Collins. He will play it off the base of the wall. Collins is up and firing to short. The tying run is coming around third. The throw into the plate is not in time. It gets away from Diamond, and sliding in to score from first is Claunch, and we are all tied up at five. The scoreless streak is over at 12 and a third scoreless innings. And now the go-ahead run is on second with two away. Second double in a row for Laureano. As taking ball one here is Sanchez, the nine man. He's 0 for 3. The pitch is again low. So 2-0 now, a base open at first, and we're all tied up at five. The pitch is driven on a line to center field. Collins has it in his sights, and he will make the catch to retire the side. But we're now all tied up at five as we enter the final frame. To the top of the ninth we go, as it'll be 8-9-1 due up. Exposito, Casanova, and Collins. And we'll have a new pitcher as well, perhaps, when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. Greenjacketsbaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit greenjacketsbaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
The pleasure's good as the pleasure sound. She helps us so much hard to talk.
Top of inning number nine, what has become a brand new ballgame. Five runs apiece, five runs, seven hits, no errors for Augusta, five runs, nine hits, no errors for Kannapolis, as EJ Exposito will lead it off here. Veloz remains on the mound as it'll be 8-9-1 due up. The number of hits in this game is interesting as well, because when the Green Jackets are out hit, They are just 1-11. When they out-hit their opponent, they are 5-2. Well, they've got two to catch up in the hit category. As the first pitch to Exposito is swung on and foul tipped down the first base line, out of the glove of the catcher, I believe. So it goes to 0-1 on Exposito. The pitch is taken up high, 1-1. A pitcher is up and warming. Looks like maybe Zach Cable is walking out there right now. As missing outside, here is Veloz. It is 2-1. The pitch fouled off, 2-2. No one on, no one out. The 2-2 pitch is taken up high by Exposito. So a full count to the leadoff man in this frame. Casanova, who is 2-for-3 with two runs batted in, is on deck. The payoff pitch inside. That one missed by a couple inches. And a great at-bat by Exposito to start the frame. Puts him aboard for the second time today. And that will bring up Casanova. Casanova seeing the ball extraordinarily well right now. You know, sometimes you think it's a cliche, but it really is the case that baseball players and baseball as a whole is probably the streakiest sport out there. You don't really think about NFL quarterbacks having good streaks and bad streaks. Sometimes maybe basketball players will run hot and cold, but not to the extent that baseball players do. And Casanova appears to be in the early stages of a hot streak of his own. He's reached four straight games. So a runner on first and no one out. Tie ball game, top of the ninth. The first pitch to Casanova, in for a strike. Pickoff throw comes over to first, not in time. Pitch swung on and missed, and it's 0-2. Big lead for Exposito off of first with an 0-2 count to Casanova, top of the order coming up next. The pitch checked his swing, did not go at a high fastball. So 1-2 the count. The pitch in on the outside corner, called third strike. Right on the paint, and there is one away. And that is going to do it for Veloz, as we will have a different arm coming in to replace him. We'll give you that detail when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network. We're all tied up at 5 in the ninth.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of minor league baseball.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Back here in the top of inning number 9, and bad news for the Green Jackets as Billy Seidel has entered the game. The 15th rounder in last year's draft has been immaculate this year. 7 games worked already, an 0.96 ERA, 5 saves and 5 save opportunities with 14 strikeouts in those 9 and a third innings of work. And here's where it gets even weirder. Billy Seidel, born in Newton, Massachusetts. I was also born in Newton, Massachusetts. He was born exactly 3 months and a week after me. He went to my rival high school and then ended up going to Duke. I did not go to UNC or Duke, so that's where the comparisons end. But I do remember watching him pitch in high school. He was an NEB product and also I believe a St. Sebastian's product. I would have to double check that, but one of the best prep arms out of the state of Massachusetts in the last couple of years. And it's crazy how the world can get small, as taking a huge lead and trying to steal second is the runner Exposito. He had it stolen, but he hesitated. What was that? He had that stolen by a mile. And he hesitated and gets tagged out. And for the best closer in the league, you can't give up outs like that. And there are two away. Well, that was not great. I believe Exposito was trying a delayed steal, but Seidel just delayed and delayed and delayed as he misses outside here with the first pitch to Collins. The only thing this does do is that it means that if Collins is out and the Green Jackets can hold the cannonballer scoreless in the bottom of the ninth, that Collins, the speediest man on the team, would end up as the base runner, the ghost runner in extra innings. As he fouls this one off, it's 1-1. At the same time, you'd probably rather try and get the run here. The pitch, lined into left center field, dropping fast, but coming in to make the play is the left fielder, Baldwin, for the out that retires the side. So that will send us to the bottom of the ninth. We're all tied up at five. Green Jackets will tie and push this game to extras when we come back on the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HGTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be. Visit us at 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway, right off of I-520 and I-20. Ale, yeah!
Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes we try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, ay, si no sabes de dónde soy, no me ronques, no. Si no sabes de dónde soy, no me ronques. Si no sabes de dónde soy, no me ronques, no. Si no sabes de dónde soy, yo soy de pe.
Back here in the bottom of the ninth in a tie ball game. Green Jackets trying to avoid getting walked off on a Tuesday for the second time this year. The only other Tuesday road game they've played this season was at Myrtle Beach. It was 1-1 going into the bottom of the 10th in that one. And the lamest of walk-offs, a infield single walk-off that was hit softly to third base, still got the job done for Myrtle Beach on that day. But the Green Jackets will look to extend this game and send it to extra innings. But they will have to get through the top of this order, and Harper remains on the mound. So Sprinkle sets to lead it off, followed by Camaletti and Elko. The first pitch, in for a strike at the bottom of the zone. Sprinkle so far today is 2-for-4. Two singles. He's been stranded at third twice, and a pair of ground outs as well. The pitch also gets the outside corner. And this one is skipped up. The 1-2 pitch gets the outside corner, called strike three. Diamond tried to frame it, and he did so effectively. He just brought that one back out over the plate, and the leadoff man goes down on strikes. The Green Jackets are 2-1 in extra innings this year. Camaletti takes ball one. Mario Camaletti is 1-for-2. A walk, a hit by pitch, and a single, which for him is his personal cycle. He grounds this one to second. Exposito overhands it to first. And there are two away. Well, the good news about where the lineup has fallen right now is that Elko, the best hitter on this team, is the final batter, or rather up to the plate with two away, rather than potentially coming to the plate with a ghost runner on next inning. However, you still have to get him out. With Baldwin on deck, the cleanup man, having already driven home three, Elko will take the first pitch low for a ball. Harper on the mound out of Southern Mississippi played at the same regional as Elko at Ole Miss. As he fires in a strike, it's 1-1. I do not believe they ever played each other, however. I was researching before the game. I'll do more as the week goes on. The 1-1 cranked foul. Elko wanted to end it with that one, but instead it'll hit off the A in the atrium health sign. The sky is now a cloudy dark as we hit the 2-hour and 30-minute mark in this game. 1-2, grounded up the middle. Exposito plays it on a backhand from the outfield grass. He throws to first in time. So Kannapolis goes down 1-2-3. And we are headed to extra innings for the fourth time this year. The last extra inning game, the Green Jackets won 5-4 on Friday night back home in North Augusta. Of course, that was not a walk-off win. They were playing as the road team. Tonight, they will try and do the same. To extras we go on the Green Jackets Radio Network. We're all tied up at 5.
With Well Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price-lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with Well Business. Visit switchtowellbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers, 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Premier Networks provides cyber technology and IT solutions for your business. Headquartered in the new state-of-the-art Cyber Technology Center in Augusta, Georgia, and celebrating a decade of IT support in our community, Premier Networks is your local, trusted, and official IT provider of the Augusta Green Jackets. Call Premier Networks today for your free cybersecurity assessment or visit us at premworks.com. That's PREMWORX.com. Premier Networks, celebrating a decade of support in our community.
As the nighttime bleeds into the day, tomorrow spills across the sky, and the sun's a harsh reminder why we are feeling barely human. We don't know what's good for
for us, 'cause if we did, we might not do it. Who knows where our limits lie? We won't discover till we push it. I should just walk away, walk away. But it grips me, it grips me. But I should call it a day and make my way. Oh, it grips me.
Extra innings getting underway here from Kannapolis, North Carolina, as asking for a new ball is the closer, Billy Seidel. Seidel has been immaculate this season. Collins is the runner, the ghost runner here on second base, and he is the fastest man on this team. A single scores him, but Tavares has to put this ball in play and at least get him over. Pitch hits him. Well, that's not what you want as your first pitch. And Tavares gets hit for the third time in his last two games. He got hit by a pitch on two consecutive at bats on Saturday. As the fans are evidently booing Tavares. I promise that he wasn't trying to take 93 off the arm, and the runner's now on first and second with no one out. It does set up a potential double play ball here for a ground ball pitcher. David McCabe at the plate, batting near his college. He likes hitting in this area. The pitch to Cave, and it's up and away. Big Maple trying to do what his Toronto Maple Leafs have not done tonight and produce on a big stage. So Collins, the ghost runner, is on second. Tavares, hit by a pitch, extends his on-base streak to six games. Off of first. The 1-0 breaks too far down and in, and it is 2-0. This has become a very compelling baseball game, and after getting absolutely eviscerated in two straight games on Sunday, it's refreshing for the soul. The 2-0 pitch. Gets the zone. 90 miles an hour there from the former Duke man. Not too far away from his alma mater either. North Carolina really punches above its weight in terms of D1 universities. The pitch taken down low. Great eye by McCabe. Maybe too good of an eye there, as that one was right on the edge of the zone. Looked low from up here. Probably looked like a strike from the pitcher's mound. And there's a 3-1 count, a hitter's count, with two aboard. Now, if you're McCabe, you have to make sure you're swinging at a strike here in extra innings. As we've got a timeout called and a pitch clock violation on the pitcher, and the bases are loaded. Well, the first pitch clock violation we have of the entire day loads the bases with no one out in the top of inning number 10. As one fan put it in front of us, you might have heard there on the microphone, not a fan of that call. And that'll bring up Celedonio. He is 1-for-3, a walk, a strikeout, a flyout, and a gargantuan home run. And he checks his swing but goes around. Any kind of productive out will do. Just have to get it out of the infield here to avoid a force out at home. We're all tied up 5-5 in the top of the 10th with the bases loaded and no one out. The 0-1. Swing and a miss and a bouncer in the dirt. Seidel might be owed a little bit of baseball karma following that last at bat. He is trying to put away Celedonio on strikes. The 0-2. Went around. Strike 3. So that'll bring up Ethan Werkinger. He is 1-for-4, a single and a run, a couple of flyouts and a strikeout. A flyout here would do. Collins on third with excellent speed. Infield at double play depth. Werkinger going righty on righty with the bases loaded and one out in the top of the 10th. The pitch is taken for a strike at the bottom of the zone. The chant of "Let's go, ballers, go" being led by some kids in the dugout down by the first base side. The 0-1 taken low for a ball with a changeup. Werkinger has driven in 5 runs on the year. 3 of them have come via the home run. And the other 2 came back on the first Tuesday game of the season. He drove home 2 with a double to left. He snapped a long run of games without an RBI on Sunday with a home run. The count is 1-1. The pitch taken low in the dirt. The catcher behind the plate tonight, Klonch, has been very solid. He has not let a single ball through. And we are coming off a series with an abnormally large amount of passed balls and wild pitches. 2-1 the count on Werkinger with the bases juiced. The pitch taken low. The crowd doesn't like it. That one certainly looked low, and the off-speed nature of the pitch, or maybe there was just a low fastball there. Something about its movement, I think, is causing it to be interpreted as a little bit lower than it actually is. So the count's 3-1. Hitters count. No place to put Werkinger. With the bases loaded, the 3-1 fouled off. Timeout called by Seidel, who throws a ball to the dugout to get a new ball. The ERA of Seidel stands at 0.87. And we've got a pitch clock violation. A pitch clock violation walk to walk in a run. That is incredible. The first we've seen for the Augusta Green Jackets. With a full count, we've got a pitch clock violation. Because the pitcher, Seidel, throws a ball to the dugout and asks for a new ball and then doesn't become alert to the batter in time. Well, the least dramatic possible way to score the go-ahead run in the top of the 10th. That is incredible. And the manager here, Patrick Leyland, is fuming. And why wouldn't you be? You don't see a pitch clock violation all game. You see 2 in consecutive at-bats. And the easiest RBI of Ethan Werkinger's career comes via an automatic ball with the bases loaded in the top of the 10th. The Green Jackets have taken a 6-5 lead. Well, the beauty of the game of baseball is that we will play 132 games each season. And in any one of those games, there's a possibility of seeing something that you will not see again or haven't seen before. And the first pitch is cranked foul by Janis. That was going to clear the bases if it landed fair. So the base is loaded with one away, and Justin Janis at the plate. A chance for some insurance here. The pitch just missed outside, 1-1. Janis is good at getting on base. A .536 on base percentage his final year at Illinois. The 1-1 goes off the catcher to the backstop. Oh, it hits him. Janis gets drilled in the elbow. And another run comes home. This has been a ridiculous inning from the best closer in the Carolina League. A hit by pitch, a walk, a strikeout, a walk. Both walks, by the way, on automatic balls. And now another hit by pitch. And it is a 7-5 lead. And you know, for someone who's hoping for some exciting calls to add to a demo reel, this inning isn't cutting it. But the Green Jackets are up 7-5. And the first pitch is grounded to short. No chance for two. The shortstop has no play. It's going to be an infield base hit for Dawson Diamond. And a third run will come in to score. Diamond picks up his second RBI of the day. His second RBI with bases loaded situations all season long. And that's going to bring out the pitching coach. Well, what a weird inning this has been. We will recap it all for you right now. Tyler Collins is the ghost runner placed on second base to start the inning. Tavares gets drilled with a pitch, so there are runners on first and second. McCabe walks to load the bases. Celedonio strikes out with the bases loaded. Ethan Werkinger walks in a run. Justin Janis gets hit by the pitch to walk in a run. And then Dawson Diamond singles one home. So as of right now, three runs are home. It is an 8-5 lead for the Green Jackets. Werkinger is on third, Janis is on second, and Diamond is on first. Sometimes it's not about how hard you hit it, but where. And Exposito, who led off last inning with a walk and then took a ridiculous caught stealing, is at the plate. Now, in extra inning situations so far this season, Exposito is 2-for-2 with four runs batted in. A base hit here would extend that. The 0-1 cranked foul down the right field line, dropping quickly and out of play. It takes a big bounce on the concrete concourse. This game has been back and forth from the very beginning. And the Green Jackets, by the way, have scored eight runs for the first time since opening day. They came into today averaging 2.9 runs per game. And they have scored 11% of their runs on the season in today's game. The pitch is taken outside. Good block. One and two on Exposito. Casanova is 2-for-4 and on deck. But an out here eliminates the productive out. The pitch, checked swing, almost a swinging bunt. The first baseman has no play to home, and he will throw to first to get the out. Good, smart decision there made by Elko not to try and force it. Another run comes in to score. It's the fifth extra innings RBI for Exposito on the year, and it is now 9-5. It'll go down as a 3-1 RBI groundout, and the runners move to second and third for Casanova. So the Green Jackets have sent up now eight men to the plate in this inning. It has been a weird one, as Casanova has a chance to add some insurance. Green Jackets up 4 now in the top of the 10th. The pitch, swing and a miss. The 0-1 fouled off, might have broke a little bit of his bat, and it goes to 0-2. The 0-2 pitch lined towards left center field. It's going to drop for a base hit. One run is in to score. Rounding third and heading to the plate is Diamond. He slides in safely, and this is getting out of hand. Casanova has a 4 RBI game. The Green Jackets put up a 6th spot in the 10th and take an 11-5 lead. And that will do it for Billy Seidel, excuse me, as he's going to end up tagged with his first ugly outing of the season. The ERA jumps from 0.87 to the low fours as he is replaced. We will give you the rundown when we come back. With the Green Jackets have scored a season-high 11 runs here in Kannapolis. You're listening to the Green Jackets Radio Network.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. Greenjacketsbaseball.com is your one-stop shop
for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit greenjacketsbaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
So we are back here in the top of inning number 10. The Green Jackets have now actually sent nine men to the plate. I don't believe it's officially batting around because the man at the dish, Tyler Collins, began the inning on second base as the ghost runner, one of the many scorekeeping oddities in place now with these new rules. But here is what happened in this half inning. Collins is placed on second base. And Tavares gets hit by a pitch. McCabe walks. Celedonio strikes out. So the bases are loaded with one away. Workinger walks in a run. Janis gets hit by a pitch to drive in a run. Dawson Diamond ends up singling in a run. Exposito grounds out and drives in a run. And then Casanova doubles home. Two runs of his own. Give him a four RBI day. So take a bow. And on second is Casanova as Collins takes strike one. It is a new pitcher out on the mound, Chase Krogman. As this pitch is grounded to third. The third baseman fields it and fires and throws to first for the out. But the Green Jackets now have a six-run cushion in the bottom of the 10th. We will keep it here on the Green Jackets Radio Network. So the fun of the top of the 10th has concluded, and we are now in the bottom of inning number 10. Harper remains on the mound with a six-run cushion. It's the largest lead in a single game the Green Jackets have had this year. Their previous largest lead of the year was three runs. You talk about a dire offensive team, and it's not been dire in every game, but on the whole, they hadn't had a lead of more than three runs until the 21st game of the season. But they've got a six-run lead now. The count is 1-1 on Brooks Baldwin. Elko is the ghost runner on second. And all Harper has to do is just keep this inning within reach and not allow the first six men to score. And he will pick up a win. This pitch is popped foul on a play. It is 1-2. The pitch smoked to right center field. Going back is the right fielder. It's gone. Well, ideally not the start you would want after having a six-run top of the frame. It is a two-run home run for Baldwin, who now has five runs batted in on the game. His first home run of the season. He came into today with 11 base hits on the year. Only one of them was for extra bases. He now has two more extra base hits tonight. And it is now 11-7 as the first pitch is flown foul out of play off of Claunch. First home run given up all season by Harper, the 0-1. Popped up right side of the infield. Coming in is the right fielder, Celedonio. He will make the catch, battling the fluorescent lights and also the second baseman, Exposito. And there's one away. And that'll bring up Tapia. The pitch is blown right by him, 0-1. And missing outside is Harper. The 1-1, flown into shallow right field again. Coming out is the second baseman. The right fielder is calling for it, and Celedonio, the right fielder, makes the catch, and there are two away. And Logan Glass now represents the final out with a four-run lead. And Glass fouls off the first pitch. The 0-1 in for a strike. It is 0-2. The 0-2 pitch taken down low. The 1-2 fouled off. Green Jackets up 11-7. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three, and the ball game is over. The biggest offensive performance of the season for the Green Jackets delivers them a win on the first game of a six-game road trip. 11 runs, 9 hits, 0 errors for Augusta. They reach double figures in runs for the first time this season and complete the extra inning victory. The winning pitcher in this one will be Landon Harper, who guides the team to victory, pitching the final 3.5 frames. The losing pitcher in this one will be Seidel, who gave up 6 runs in the 10th. We will talk to you tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. start time, 10:50 first pitch. But the Green Jackets pick up a much-needed dub. On the Green Jackets Radio Network, thank you for following along here from Kannapolis.